thing. I want to get into it, man, you know. Like a sex machine, man. Moving, doing it, you know. Can I count it off? 1, 2, 3, 4.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, ladies and gents, way in the back of the house, come on over here. It's me, Lightning, from the world famous K-Rock. I want to say thank you very much for coming out to Longshot Sports Bar here in Hollywood Park. Bring all your friends up, bring your dollar beers, bring your hot dogs, whatever you're going to do, lunch. Get a good spot right here. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together. Give it up for Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
Oh, you.
Whoa.
Wow.
Language.
No one has the right to subject listeners to vulgarity of any nature, and profanity is strictly forbidden. Remember that there are many young people operating radios under the guidance of their parents.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, hi. Did you want to buy some drugs?
Roll another one.
Does smell pot.
Just like the other one.
You got any weed?
This one seems to be about to quit.
God damn it, I love pot.
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
My mom says there's a lot of black people in Africa.
Roll another one.
Marijuana is just nature's way of saying hi.
Just like the other one.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
This one seems to be about to end.
Smoke weed.
I guess if we're gonna feel anything, we should smoke a whole bunch of it really fast.
Does
smell pot.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
And now.
Yeah, I feel very, very. Stoned.
Our feature presentation.
That's a guy who's stoned every day of his life.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sam.
I don't even know how he knows how it feels not to be stoned.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Really.
He should just mention when he doesn't feel stoned.
Yeah.
Take a lot less time.
That's the event.
So I realized why I can't remember anything. I finally realized what's wrong with my memory.
Really?
Oh my God. Really?
And now you forgot?
I can't remember. Yeah, I was driving in this morning and I was thinking to myself, wow, I'm almost there, but I could be late this time. Today might be the day that I'm late.
Oh, really?
And then I hear Psycho Mike play the Kevin and Bean production thing. And then he goes into Got the Life. And I think, Got the Life, Korn, 3:46. I have 3 minutes and 46 seconds. I'm fine. And then I go, who has that information? Although it's understandable why I do, but, well, no wonder other information won't stick. What kind of...
Because you got that crap in your head.
Why do I have that in my head?
Mike, would you
know
that?
Because you knew how long that song was? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, because I knew it was 3 minutes and 46 seconds.
But you know the human brain isn't like a pack mule.
I mean, no, mine is. Mine is.
If you add one thing, it doesn't have to take
mine is finite. So if you add one fact, it has to discharge a fact.
Okay.
But I don't have any control over which facts it discharges. It just does.
Right.
It's automatic.
But don't they say, and I don't know if this is true or not, but don't you always hear that you only use about 10% of your brain?
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like there'd be any need to discharge facts when you add new. It seems like there's plenty of room available for new facts.
But if that were true, then wouldn't you eventually be using more than 10% of your brain?
Well,
when you get old, wouldn't you be using 12%, 15%? Because you
think so.
Nope.
Yeah, but you started at 6, though, remember?
It goes the other way.
That's true.
Really.
And also, I'm certainly not a doctor, but I know that brain cells generate and synthesize like at a considerably higher rate than any other cell in the body. So, I mean, that's why, like, people who destroy brain cells at a massive rate, if they go sober or do anything like that...
They're still broken.
After time, you can recover in the brain because it
Oh, you can.
It seems to synthesize its own cells much higher and much more quickly than like skin cells or.
I don't know how that helps the conversation at all.
Well,
but it's interesting.
Kevin was saying if you learn more, won't you eventually start using more than 10% of your brain? I'm saying you're actually making more brain every day, so you don't. I mean.
So you never catch up.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. I can't help you.
It's kind of a speed bump, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a speed bump.
Well, since as none of us really know anything about it, we weren't really able to help.
I know it's crazy, but since listeners are thinking it, someone should say it to reflect their position, which is, why not just leave 5 minutes earlier?
No, that's not the point. The point is that I have that information in my head. I don't really want that information there.
It's useless.
It may not be there. It may not be there in your head if you didn't have to sweat it like by hoping for a 3 minute and 26 second song rather than a 2 minute and 45 second song.
3:46, first of all.
I hear where Kevin's coming from. I mean, like, why does he have Gerald LaVert at the tip of his tongue? But with the stuff.
But I can't remember my brother's
really
names.
He wants to remember stuff and he can't.
Right.
There should be a manual purge. You should be able to, you know, selectively
like
get rid of
your
stuff.
Computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'd like to purge my brain right now. I'm going to click on this, 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 and this. Gone.
And then this.
And you should be able to download and porn right to your brain too.
Yes, that'd be good
too. While we're turning it into a computer, why not? You should be able to have it. You should be able to access it at any time just by thinking about it.
I think the other problem with my brain is I have no cash. None. You know?
You have credit cards?
No, I'm saying cash getting a computer away. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know why that was there. I guess I pay attention to it because of this job, but
it's something you've seen by looking at the computer screen where the song is 100 times too. So maybe you just when you think of the words "Got the Life," you think of that time because you've seen it together so often, maybe.
Oh, well, of course, everything looks bad if you remember it.
Yeah, that's the way I see it, yes. I would like to be able to purge just manually. Just say, you know what, that video that Mike showed me yesterday, sure would like to get that out of my mind.
There's like 10 videos Mike showed me that I'd like to purge. That is a really good point.
And it seems like the frequency with which they come back and haunt you is inversely proportionate to their...
to the horror?
To the quality, yeah. If it's really bad, even in songs, if they're really bad, they'll be stuck in your mind forever.
So true.
Yeah.
You can't unsee and unhear stuff at will.
Right. So we need to do some more research into the brain. That's what I'm saying. I think I'm the guy to do it.
Yeah, you get right on that.
Pretty sure I'm the guy to do it.
That's what he does on his weekends.
All right. It's Friday morning. It is the 25th of Do You Like It in the Ass?
Stop. We have reached the limits of what rectal probing can teach us.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Friday morning means we have Movie Beat.
Yes.
Ralph, by the way, not doing his job.
I agree.
He's not doing his job.
Very disappointing.
We got Step Brothers coming out today. He's seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
And he's supposed to review them without seeing them. We also have X-Files. The X-Files today. Seen it.
Saw that too.
Right.
Yeah.
What's the point of that? That's what the Movie Beat is about, is Ralph just takes his gut based on whatever information he's seen, trailers, sometimes not trailers, sometimes a clip. And he just tells you the straight scoop.
And then we just roll the dice and decide if we're going to go with him
exactly.
or not. Exactly. He's taking all the fun out of the game.
No one really cares whether he liked it or not.
Correct.
The beautiful thing about him reviewing the movies without seeing it was we can decide just based on what little information there is.
That is correct, yes.
I don't get it.
By the way, I saw Mr. and Mrs. Ralph Sr. last night.
Oh, you
screening.
Went to the screening as well.
Brought his parents.
Isn't that nice? He's a nice boy.
And? No, I don't want to give it away. And, I don't want to give it away.
Doesn't seem like from the clips I've seen that it's the type of movie a lot of people would take their parents to.
Well, I wouldn't, but his parents probably have a great sense of humor, I imagine. I mean, he knows what kind of movie it was.
Sure.
So, and he got it from somewhere. I imagine his dad's a nut job.
Right. A rare Psycho Mike appearance last night, I understand, at the movies.
He was there. And the guy that he was with.
Oh, where was Jenny?
Working.
Somewhere else. Uh-huh. The guy that he was with, and I don't want to talk too badly about him because he seems super cool, but I don't know why Mike can't hang out with somebody that looks a little bit heterosexual. You know what I mean? Like,
was this guy groomed even more than
Mike?
Well,
no, it's not groomed. He had like women's jeans on, but and so they were super, super tight, but he had them cut off so that they were shorts, but they weren't cut off. They were cut off like a little bit below the knee.
They were like pedal pushers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think anything else about him looked gay except for maybe his shoes, which were also kind of gay. But
what about
his
Compton hat? What about his BT?
I don't think Psycho Mike is gay. But he sure doesn't hang out with anyone heterosexual and doesn't talk about anything heterosexual.
Those things are true.
We can't come to the phone right now because we're too gay.
Yeah, my friend Ryan, way effeminate. And he was my friend when Bean pulled off the pigtails. He was the guy I told you about that goes out of his way to look really flimsy, wears pigtails a lot, has painted fingernails, but somehow pulls more chicks than anybody I know. He's the guy. He's the guy we talked to.
He's not the guy.
He's the guy.
He's not the guy.
He's the guy.
He isn't the guy, though.
He's the guy.
That guy?
That guy is the guy.
Not the guy.
The guy, somehow.
What I'm hearing is Mike say that that guy is the guy.
Right.
But it sounds like what you're saying is that he's not the guy.
No way. There's no way
but
he's the guy.
But you don't know the guy enough to say he's not the guy.
No, I don't. But not the guy. Can't be.
Women can be disarmed with men who are slightly feminine. They're not too threatening.
Yeah, that could be.
And it lets them in.
First of all, that is always the last defense of a coward who's dealing with a buddy who's way gay. Dude, he pours more chicks than anybody you've ever met. Are you insane? He gets more tail than toilet seat.
Yeah, you know, that's always
the defense. Saw the guy last night, right?
We were calling them Jay and Swollen Bob. Because you got Swole Bob over there. It's like, oh my. And then he looked just like a brunette Jay from... Yeah.
Stringy hair.
From all the Kevin Smith movies. Yeah. Long stringy hair and the hat and the funky, like, sort of denim bike shorts he was wearing. Like, Lance Armstrong with bad fashion sense.
But when,
and, like,
When have I ever been in defense of any of my friends being gay? I mean, I'll always be like, hey, yeah, my friend's really gay. I mean, I'm not that guy that really cares.
No, but you're defensive about yourself being gay. And I'm saying, when was the last time you actually hung out with a guy who was heterosexual?
Like, really heterosexual?
Yes.
Well,
I mean, only heterosexual.
Oh.
It has to be grade school, right?
Ever?
Yeah.
Grade school when he was
pre-puberty,
forced.
Pre-puberty, before he knew who was banging who.
Jury duty.
Yeah, so it was Jay and
certainly
Swole
male
ass
is good times.
I'll tell you, I think he just brought him so that he would appear more heterosexual himself. Mm. I think that's what he does. He surrounds himself with
gay told
guys.
Kevin's wife that. I said, they're always picking on me for being the femme guy, but around him, I'm like John Wayne.
That's right. I'll tell you what I think about Mike at his old age.
Gay are gay, yeah. Gay, gay, gay are gay.
That's true.
Gay, gay, oh so gay. Yeah. Gay, gay, they like men and they're gay. Oh so gay.
I'm going to make a sandwich.
Gay,
I'll
back. Okay, oh, so
I'm with you.
Okay.
Gay, gay, oh
you
guys
so gay.
You guys
leaving?
You want to get some coffee?
Gay. Yeah,
we'll be back.
Did I mention that they're gay? Also gay.
Has the point been made or should I let it roll?
No, no, let it roll.
Gay, gay, gay.
I think it changes up
gay,
here.
Gay, 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 gay. Gay, 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 gay. They have sex with men. They're gay.
All right. Big finish. Here we go.
Gay, 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 oh so gay, 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 oh so gay, 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 oh so gay.
I think he's starting to run out of steam a little bit.
Gay, 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 oh so gay.
There we go.
I think we need a solemn pact that as soon as that song starts... It goes the distance. You know, it doesn't matter if we're late. Don't look at the clock. Think about the, momentum, which we never do anyway. That song starts, that song ends.
It's like editing Stairway to Heaven. You can't play the first half of it. Right. You got to play the whole thing.
First half is funny. Then it gets annoying. But then near the end, you go, still singing. That's awesome.
It comes right back around.
All right. Also on today's show, we have Joe Rogan in the studio. Mike's very excited. We're going to talk to an actress on Mad Men, which is coming back this weekend,
Elizabeth
Sunday.
Moss, yes. Yeah.
On AMC. Psycho Mike and our listener, Annelle, went down to Compton to ask them about Barack Obama.
Oh.
We'll have those man on the street interviews.
I can't wait. I suspected that there was some support for the senator in South Central. We'll find out if I'm right.
There was some. Yes. Also today, Dave Duchovny talking about the X-Files.
Excellent.
Damn.
And if you missed the day last week when we had Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly in the studio, we've got some highlights for that coming up just after 6 o'clock as Step Brothers also comes out today. And starting today at noon, we are going to give away tickets to X Games 14. And if you want to go to krock.com, you can check out how you can win your own BMX bike.
Cool.
We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
Really, Ralph? You took your parents to Step Brothers? They were down with that kind of nonsense?
They
told me they wanted to go. They asked to go.
That's awesome.
They said, well, we're never there. I said, oh, we'll go out. I said, I was supposed to have the screening for Step Brothers, but, you know, you guys are coming up. We'll just grab dinner. And they said, no, we're dying to see that movie. Can you get us in? I said, well, let me see. And I called, and they got a couple extra tickets, and we all went to see Step Brothers last night.
What about the percentages of folks in your parents' age range who are down with the Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly nonsense?
I would say there's them.
Yeah. Probably them.
There's, yeah, they are a small them, yeah. subset.
I know my parents would not have enjoyed it.
Yeah, my parents are – I have a very cool relationship with them. They're very sort of hip and funny, and they're very laid back, and they don't get offended easily. And they, my dad just thinks Will Ferrell's the funniest thing in the world. So they loved the film. They laughed their ass off.
Well, we had Will and John in a few days ago. If you missed it, we have highlights coming up after 6 o'clock. Also next hour, the star of one of the other big movies opening up today, Dave Duchovny, talks X-Files. And that's a sentence that hasn't been uttered on this show in a lot of years. But that's all happening in the 6 o'clock hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Friday. What's happening?
You know, it's cool to hear about Dave. And we talked to the show's creator and the director-producer of the film, Chris Carter, yesterday. Is that he was the guy who was pushing to get the movie made.
Yeah, right.
And there's so many stars who, after they have a hit series or whatever, they're known for a particular role, are just desperate to divorce themselves from that whole experience, and they don't want to be attached to that character anymore. But it's nice that Dave still has some affection, obviously, for that series and that character.
I wonder if it's because Californication is a bona fide hit. He feels like, okay, now I've moved past it. I can revisit it. It won't hurt me.
Yeah, I guess it's easier when you have success in other venues that you don't have to worry about being typecast as Fox Mulder or whatever, but I still think that's pretty cool. Speaking of movies, last night I did mention a bunch of us went to see Step Brothers, and outside in front of the theater, the ArcLight is where we went to see.
Oh, I knew you would be excited by this.
Where we went to see the film. Outside the ArcLight. What do they have parked there? What do they have parked there? The Dark Knight's Batmobile, the Tumbler, and the Batpod, his new Bat Cycle.
And the
right
Bat
there,
cycle.
Larger than life, right there, right in front of our eyes. You could reach out and touch it if it wasn't for the burly security guards and the iron gate around it.
They were burly there? When I walked in, Ralph was already inside the theater, but there, you know, they have fencing around the Batmobile. And there were just a bunch of people that were just leaning on the fence and just like in a trance. They weren't talking. They weren't, you know, moving around.
It was like
just
a religious pilgrimage.
They were staring at it.
Some religious artifact.
Like it was going to give them a message if they looked hard enough.
This Batmobile that we saw in the movie, Ralph, this is one that actually drives? It's not just
sure looked like it.
Yeah. Special effects and stuff?
No, they built these vehicles from the ground up. These actually work. There was a special on the History Channel, I guess it was this week, called Batman Tech.
Oh, no kidding.
Where they go through all of his weapons and vehicles and whatnot and give you the backstory. And engineers actually got together and built both of those vehicles. And they actually work.
I'd like to ride that motorcycle. That is the biggest tire ever on a motorcycle.
Motorcycle. Sure, one of the reasons the tire is so big, interesting fact they showed on this special, is that the motorcycle has two engines.
Motorcycle has two engines.
Both of them are inside the wheels.
What?
There's a motorized wheel. There's a motor within the hub of each of the front and back wheels, and they're synchronized to move at the same time, so you're getting twice the power from those engines, both pulling and pushing you at the same time.
Wow.
This ain't right.
So a little piece of trivia for you there about the Batpod.
I like it.
The reason I bring it up, though, is because we've got a very cool thing happening on krock.com. If you are a Dark Knight fan, you're going to want to check it out. We're giving you a chance, if you're a Street Team member, to get one of the coolest-looking video game consoles ever. It is the super limited edition Dark Knight Xbox 360.
Oh, cool.
And the design features either Batman or the Joker. Just to give you an idea, there are only 286 of these made in the world.
No kidding.
And you get a chance to win one if you're one of the K-Rock Street Team members. So go to krock.com, sign up for the K-Rock Street Team now, and then you get a chance to win this super limited edition Dark Knight Xbox 360. As again, it's either they made a bunch of Batmans and a bunch of Joker editions. These aren't for sale to the public. You can't get these.
Dude.
So the only way to get it is via the Street Team. So go
it's
now.
Worth putting up on eBay right there.
Go now, goddammit. And don't eBay it. Keep it.
Oh, I mean, don't. I mean, it's a cool thing to have is what I mean.
Speaking of the Dark Knight again, this is just the, you know, the hottest thing going right now.
Sure.
This movie. It's kind of cool that, you know, celebrities, they're just like us.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
No. Really?
I saw it in a magazine. Huh. They're just like us. Have you heard about this series of concerts that Billy Joel is doing at Shea Stadium?
No.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He is apparently they're tearing Shea down, I guess.
That's okay. Right.
Is that where the Mets play?
It's where the Mets play, yeah, right.
And it's also been a venue for outdoor concerts for some time. The Beatles, for instance, played there in the United States for the first time. That was kind of put them on the mark. Their first concert in the United States was at the Shea Stadium.
That was their first, that was the first stadium show. That was where rock shows at stadiums began in this country.
And so he's been doing a series of shows there. You know, he's huge in the New York, New Jersey, kind of Philadelphia area, the East Coast. And he's got a bunch of guest stars stop by, including Paul McCartney. Paul McCartney came back to perform at Shea one last time before they tore it down. They did a number together. They appeared on stage together. Apparently, after the show, they hung out and then went to see The Dark Knight. Can you imagine sitting in the East Hampton Cineplex, wherever they went, and you're watching Dark Knight, and two guys sit down in front of you, like, "Ooh, I can't wait to see The Dark Knight. I love Batman." Paul McCartney, Billy Joel, eating popcorn.
That's hilarious.
Are they holding hands?
In a bromance.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Speaking of The Dark Knight again, it looks like this weekend, Dark Knight will make $300 million.
Alone just this weekend?
No.
Oh.
It will cross the $300 million mark this weekend.
Wow.
If it does as expected, it would become the first film in history to hit that mark in its first 10 days.
Wow. And that's just in this country.
Yeah. Yeah, not too shabby.
It's got that much box office or close to it around the world as well. So everything you hear almost double it, and that's what we're bringing in. That's
nutty.
Unbelievable.
Nutty. More movie news. Looks like they're going to remake another classic film, one of my favorites. RoboCop will be coming back. Daily Variety says MGM is redoing the 1987 hit that starred Peter Weller as part man, part machine, and all cop.
This ain't right.
Was that the slogan?
Yep. He's part man, he's part machine, and he's all cop. RoboCop.
All right.
Come on, RoboCop was cool.
I don't remember it. Of course.
You don't remember RoboCop?
I don't even know if I saw it.
Oh, dude.
You must have seen
probably.
RoboCop.
I probably didn't.
I didn't see it. I don't know anything about it.
That's not a surprise.
You didn't see it, no. Yeah. As action and fun.
I know. It's not for you. Brooke Hogan apparently tells Access Hollywood that she is considering a request from Hugh Hefner to appear butt naked in Playboy magazine.
I have had an ass full of her.
Really?
So to speak.
Not literally.
Oh, I thought maybe you were pegging.
No, I don't know.
No.
No, I'm not, it turns out.
Yeah, she says she's flattered and is definitely considering it, but we'll consult with her father, Hulk Hogan, before the final decision.
Whore.
Like the holster's not going to say yeah, so he can start trolling around the mansion looking for his next girlfriend.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Oddly enough, he'll be super behind it.
You wouldn't want to see Brooke naked?
I don't know. She's just been
so
annoying.
She's pretty sporty-looking.
Bean and I, for about 5 years, everywhere we went to do interviews, Hulk was walking around with her.
Hey, you know my daughter sings.
With her stupid guitar. And
you heard my daughter sing?
Oh, dear God. And we would say, no thanks.
Did you hear my daughter sing, brother?
No, thank you.
She's got a great voice, brother.
Well, you don't have to hear her if she's naked on the pages of Playboy.
Yeah. She looks like she has all the parts that should make her an attractive woman, but there's something about the way she's put together that isn't quite right, and I can't really put my finger on it.
Oh, really? Dr. Frankenstein? You know, like the way parts were assembled? I think she's blonde, she's attractive, she's
something's wrong with
curvy.
Her. I can't figure out what
she's
it is.
She's got good cans.
Something's wrong with her to me, too. I mean, not that she's ugly, don't get me wrong, but there is something off.
You know, you've seen all those photos with Hulk putting, like, suntan lotion on his daughter's butt.
Yeah,
well, you know he's going to be at the photo shoot.
Oh, yeah.
In his creepy way. Just to make sure everything goes smoothly.
Want me to get in there and perk up my daughter's nipples?
Exactly.
You don't want that. You don't want him being nipple wrangler.
No, you
Why
don't.
Why does he just date her? And that way he doesn't even have to leave the house.
Get it over with.
Just cut to the chase.
We're heading that way anyway.
All right, you guys be cool and eat fruit.
All right, we'll try. And lastly, some excellent news for those of us who are forced to watch the MTV Video Music Awards every year.
Yes.
Russell Brand has been chosen as the host of this year's awards.
Okay.
Now, Russell Brand, for those of you who don't know his stand-up comedy work, was seen most recently in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, where he played the rock star that Veronica Mars starts banging instead of...
That's a strange choice, isn't it?
Not really, because he is... The acting thing is pretty much new to him. The stand-up comedy is where he made his name over in the UK. He's sort of a, an Eddie Izzard type off-the-wall stand-up comedian. He's very funny. I've seen a bunch of his stand-up stuff, and I think he'll make the proceedings very interesting.
Great.
Nice fella. I wonder if he's gay.
The VMAs will be handed out on September 7th at the back lot of Paramount Pictures here in Los Angeles. So That means we don't get to go anywhere this year, so I'm kind of bummed. No. Usually it's like Miami or New York or Vegas or whatever, and now we're just going to be, hey, look, here's the MTV Video Music Awards. Yeah.
That's cool.
Go back to work now. Okay. Today's celebrity birthday is Matt LeBlanc. He was Joey on a show called Friends. I don't
not familiar with that.
Ring a bell, but 41 years old today. And Thurston Moore III. No, I'm sorry. Thurston Moore. I was thinking Gilligan's Island.
Yeah,
for
I was
going to
say. Yeah.
Of Sonic Youth. Turns 50 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I don't know if my brain can handle any more detailed information about the X-Files movie after everything Chris Carter told us yesterday, Kevin. I'm a little bit nervous about trying to put more in there.
Yeah, well.
He's a font of information. Yeah,
Chris Carter. He is. The movie opens today. Long anticipated X-Files, I want to believe, in theaters everywhere. Our friend Dave Duchovny on the line with us from New York this morning. Hey, David.
Yeah, good morning. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Great to talk to you. I was making a tiny little joke because you know what Chris Carter is like, man. The guy who holds everything so close to the vest, you get – I mean, he would barely admit that the movie was coming out today. He was so tight with info.
He should go on the professional poker tour, shouldn't he?
He should. Oh.
He loves you guys because I think he did one of his first radio interviews with you, and one of you called him. He said he had the voice of God.
Yeah, well, that's true. We always feel like children.
And he still does. He always repeats that to me. And I got it.
Now, he told us yesterday, and I think it may be self-defense. I'm not sure in case the movie bombs. But he said this whole thing pretty much came about because of you wanting to do it.
I don't know why he says that.
That's what he said.
So odd. You know, we all wanted to do it. But I think for me what's nice is I left the show a year before the show ended. And I always felt, even though I knew it was the right time for me and you know, I felt like the show should end at that time and they could go on without me and that was fine. But I always felt somewhat responsible for leaving them in the lurch in a way. You know, Jillian and Chris, people that I love and that I grew up with as an actor and that were so instrumental in helping me have whatever I have in my life today. Mm-hmm. So, and I said when I left, you know, we should be doing these as movies. You know, we've done 8 years of television. That's so much. There's some, you know, we can take this into movies like we did once before in 98. And so to be able to do that and be there and to be that guy again and to work with Chris and Jillian and show that, you know, I wasn't full of it when I said that and I do love the show and the character, that was kind of redemptive for me.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. And it's funny, when we were talking to Chris yesterday, I asked him if there was a time where he thought maybe the audience had kind of forgotten about the show or wasn't, wouldn't be responsive, wouldn't be waiting for that movie. And he said that among a certain number of people, which is a large fan base, the show has never gone away. There are still people out there who love it and have been on the edge of their seats. This is the movie they've been waiting for.
Yeah, I think it was one of the first shows that really kind of exploded on the internets, you know, and so.
Right.
So you have, and those people are just being very loyal and it's continued to have a life in chat rooms and websites and that kind of a thing. And so I think, you know, I grew up with certain shows that I have an affinity for forever. And I think, you know, it's almost like being branded, you know, it's like, oh yeah, I loved that show as a kid and I'll love it now. But you don't need to know anything about the X-Files to get this movie or enjoy this movie. If you're a fan of thrillers or mysteries, well-executed, kind of scary horror, paranormal mystery films, you're going to like this.
That's what Chris Carter told me. I asked him because I don't have any idea where the show left off. I mean, it's been 10 years. I'm completely confused as to what's happening or who did what.
You
or what.
The X-Files, your show was the one with the monkey, right? With Marceau, that was you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You know, let me ask you this. Dave Duchovny's on the line talking about X-Files, I Want to Believe, opening everywhere this morning. You have remained in the public eye since you left the X-Files. You've been involved in, you know, obviously Californication's a huge hit now on Showtime, but you've been in a bunch of movies, and we've kind of kept track of you. But Jillian, it seems like, got all weird and European on us. What's her deal?
She moved to London, and has been doing stage there and some BBC stuff and some smaller English films.
Jillian's not acceptable.
She's a serious actress. She's not a dilettante like me.
Would you use the words? Would you use the words Bean just used for her, which is weird and European?
What's the word?
Weird and European.
Oh, weird and European. understand. Well, I just ignored that.
Okay, all right.
Good for you.
I'm just saying, as much as I love her, it was I took it personally that she moved away from this country and got off my TV screen. That's all I'm saying.
Really? I think you should work on that.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe the problem is me. Now, I'm not giving anything away.
Have you guys ever talked to her?
Of course, we talked to her many times, but not lately.
Well, we should have her call in, and you can see for yourself whether she's weird and European.
I will tell you that I saw her on Jimmy Kimmel the other night, and she couldn't look more lovely. I mean, there are some women who, for some reason, when they're pregnant, they become radiant, and she is one of them. She looks fantastic right now.
I don't want to embarrass you, but she's not pregnant.
Oh, yeah, no.
I know you're kidding. Although it was an excellent try. You had me for 1 second.
That was a good delivery.
Now, I'm not giving anything away by saying this because I'm pretty sure I've seen it in the commercial, but there's a kiss happening, right?
More than that.
More than that.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, we're bringing Exy back.
Wow.
Now, I know you guys are actors. That's pretty awesome.
You're saying that we can take that if we want?
It's not going to be fresh by the end of the day.
Okay.
Cause now that I've said it, I'm going to keep repeating it.
Okay.
And you must. Now, I know you're actors and you do whatever is called for in the script and stuff, but how weird is it for somebody that you've known for as long as you've known her to now all of a sudden, you know, you show up for work one day and now you got to be making out?
Well, we had made out or kissed a few times during the show. So we had done that. I mean, it's not like a full on make out anyway. Right. So, you know, I have a mint. She has a mint. Everything goes okay.
Now, she's weird and European. Does she say "Hello, Governor"? Does she talk like that now?
Yes, and she doesn't shave under her arms.
Okay, all right.
Well,
good.
That's how they do it.
We have a clip of you and her interaction. We're trying to bring back clips.
Clips
on the radio, yes. And it doesn't sound like you're about to kiss in this particular scene.
Right. Mulder.
What?
Stop.
Okay, just feel free to give up like everybody else.
This is not my job anymore, Mulder.
No, that's right, that's right. You're just like my booking agent now, right?
You're right. This is my fault.
What do you mean it's your fault?
For getting you involved in this.
No, no. It was the right thing to do, Scully.
This is not about finding an FBI agent. This is about you trying to save your sister.
My sister is dead.
It hasn't stopped you from looking for her.
Dude, there's some hot sister is dead foreplay happening right there.
That turned me on.
let's make hate. That's what's going on there.
I did one alternate improvised line when she says your sister is dead. I said, why you got to play me like that? Made it in the movie.
That didn't make it?
Thought not.
Oh, what a shame.
X-Files, I Want to Believe, opens everywhere today. X-Files.com, of course, is the site. Dave, while we have you, because, you know, summer's winding down, hard to believe, but Californication coming back with new episodes in the fall, right?
September 28th.
Fantastic.
You've moved to New York recently, I know. Is the show going to be...
Just moved. Not actually living in New York yet. We'll be living here come September.
Okay. So don't you film Californication out here, though?
Yeah, but, you know... Cable seasons are just tremendous. I can do it in 12 weeks, so with a couple trips back and forth. You know, with the kids, it's fine. You know, they can do without their dad for a couple weeks at a time. And it's really, I will enjoy coming back to L.A. for that amount of time, you know?
I think kids doing without their dad for a couple weeks at a time is probably good for them.
Well, especially the kind of dad that I am.
I wouldn't go that far. We'd like to talk to you when that season comes back, because we do love that show.
Oh, I'd love to.
All right, The X-Files, I Want to Believe, starts today everywhere.
Thank you.
Dave DeCovney.
Psycho Mike and K-Rock token black listener Anel went to the streets with the K-Rock microphone to interview people in South Central about Senator Obama. We have those comments coming up after the news at 7, plus Joe Rogan will be here right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
We're going to get Obama and his mama. Isn't that a song?
That was a song, yes.
Hey, listen, if you're not a K-Rock street team member... Become one. Immediamente. For our listeners in Espanol. Do it right away because very cool things happening on KRock.com right now. We are giving away one of the coolest looking video game consoles ever made. It is the super limited edition Dark Knight Xbox 360. Now, you will win either a Batman or the Joker limited edition 360 in honor of the Dark Knight. Only 286 of these were made in the world.
It's kind of cool.
And one of our street team members will be winning one. So if you'd like more details, go to krock.com right now and find out more. But you got to be a street team member to win. So it's worth joining. It's worth joining anyway, because then you get all the advanced passwords for sales for ticket sales for concerts that we do here at K-Rock, and you get special deals on merchandise, and you get special info and stuff like that. So it's free.
And
it doesn't cost you nothing.
10 seconds to sign up. It's not a big deal, although Kevin will occasionally send you emails that will get us all in trouble. Yeah. That will happen.
That'll be nice. That'll be nice. That. Hey, jackholes, you suck.
They should think about that before they give me that list.
Yeah, they shouldn't ask you to do those things. Speaking of Dark Knight, Heath Ledger plans to open a bar.
In heaven?
In heaven, yes. No, in Brooklyn. Apparently, he was in the works in opening up a new bar called The Five Leaves in Brooklyn. He was an investor in the project, but his death, as you can imagine, put the financing for the project in jeopardy. However, Heath's dad, Kim Ledger, has decided to release the funds to finish construction because he knew how much opening the place meant to his son. So as an honor to his son, he's going to let the place open and hopefully flourish. Okay. So one of Heath's dreams will be realized even after his death.
You open the door, do you hear this?
Yes.
Excellent use of the music.
Yes, if John Tesh is playing right now.
Well, it's the theme from this latest one.
Oh, is it? Oh. Well, that recognizable...
It's not as good as the Elfman one, but...
No, that's the one we all know.
I think we've heard it, though, now. I mean, right. We probably
that'd
move
be kind
on.
Of creepy in a bar,
as good as
I
the
think.
Neil Hefty one. Heath Ledger's bar.
You are going to have to let 1968 go.
First of all, it's 66.
Whatever.
It's not going anywhere, mother effer.
It's way gone.
Speaking of Heath Ledger, his ex-girlfriend, Michelle Williams, mama of his baby, has apparently been quietly dating filmmaker Spike Jones.
Huh.
And friends say Heath would be happy to know that his loved ones are doing so well. Michelle's apparently very happy, and the baby, Matilda, is very happy as well. So, some good news in the light of the tragedy that is the passing of Heath Ledger. Although I think all this attention to The Dark Knight has cheesed off some other superheroes.
Did you say Dark Knight?
Someone take that thing away from him.
Yeah, no kidding.
We've tried.
Back to you.
Some of the other superheroes are getting a little cheesed off. I think that Batman's getting all the attention. Superman apparently is pissed.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's off his nut. On Wednesday in Seattle, where all the lunatics are, Superman walked into a downtown cafe and started to threaten a customer's baby.
What?
What?
Then apparently Superman went outside the downtown cafe and started throwing rocks at people. Cops took him into custody, learned he had an outstanding warrant, and released the statement, I'm not kidding, saying that he was a fake Superman. Not the real Superman.
They wanted to make that clear?
He was a fake Superman.
Okay.
Because the real Superman would never throw rocks at people and threaten your baby.
Well,
I think it's important we all know that.
It's just a guy in a costume?
Yeah, guy dressed up like Superman walked into a restaurant and started threatening babies and throwing rocks at people. That's not what you want from Superman.
Sorry, I missed that.
Right, how you missed it.
If that's what makes a superhero, then I'm one.
Because I've thrown a lot of rocks myself.
And you've threatened many children. So maybe you're Superman, too. Good news for you, Kevin.
Yeah.
About to make your day.
Yeah.
The guys who wrote the first two Harold and Kumar movies have announced they're working on a third. No word on the plot yet, but John Cho and Cal Penn are expected to return.
Hey, hey!
After having gone to White Castle and escaping from Guantanamo Bay, the only place left, I think, is Kevin's house. Howard and Kumar go to Kevin's house, I think, will be the third one.
I would watch that.
I'm in.
So you got that to look forward to. And finally, something's got to be done. Something has to be done. You know, I've got the list of people who need to be put down.
Yes.
That's right.
It's ever expanding, but some people, the list, it's like the Billboard charts. The order shifts constantly.
Is that right?
Depending on what's happening in the news. And Dustin Diamond has just hit number one with a bullet, as they say.
He has occupied number one several times, hasn't he?
He has, yes. He is a familiar sight at the top of my must-be-put-down list. Dustin Diamond has just announced he is writing his memoirs.
Oh,
yes!
No.
Yes.
He will be writing a story of his life. Largely the section where he played Screech on Saved by the Bell.
Really?
If there's anything else for him to write about. He says the book will include sexual escapades among the cast members, drug use, and hardcore partying of Mario Lopez, Mark Paul Gosselaar, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, and Elizabeth Berkley.
That's going to suck.
Listen, asshole. Just because everyone else you've ever worked with in your life has gone on to have an actual career because they actually have talent. Don't you write a book and try to pull them all down and slander them and tell stories about them. That is just foul on every level.
Yeah, he's ugly.
He's got to be stopped.
How does he have time to write a book when he's spending all that time scamming his fans for rent money?
Yeah, I remember that when he's selling t-shirts so he can pay his mortgage.
Sure.
Jackal. And I got to squeeze this one in.
All right.
Because he said...
Once I get into jackhole mode, my ire gets up. I can't help myself. Spencer and Heidi.
Yes. Say it.
Went house shopping yesterday.
Where?
In Malibu. The two homes they looked at. A beach house that goes for $12 million. And another estate with an asking price of more than $15 million. TMZ.com looked into it. They talked to the realtor and said they are serious buyers.
They can afford a $12 million
home. That's what I'm talking about.
There's no way.
Everybody, when they're looking at homes, goes way outside their price range and then realizes when they start considering it that they can't pay that.
How do you, if you're Heidi and Spencer, how do you look at the listing and see it's going for 12 mil and say, let's go see that house?
They're Heidi and Spencer.
And this guy says he considers them serious buyers.
I'll tell
you.
Do
they have the money?
I won't go to a club now for less than $100,000.
That's it. How. Do they have the money for that kind of real estate?
I can't imagine.
He's going to have to go to 120 clubs before he can afford this.
I can't imagine.
He probably goes to 200 clubs a day anyway, a weekend. Oh,
I hope they do buy because you know in a year.
No, not Dubai, Malibu.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I will kill you.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, if they can afford a $12 million home,
there is no justice.
I'm going to be putting on a cape and a cowl, and there is going to be some vigilante justice going on.
And you're going to be throwing rocks and hitting babies.
I will. I'll be threatening their babies.
On the show, you're a dope. Are you really in real life?
Yes. Today's celebrity birthday is Matt LeBlanc of Joey and Friends. He is 41 years old today. And guitarist Thurston Moore of Sonic Youth is 50 years old today. Not only the genius behind the magic that is Sonic Youth, but a lot of people don't know. For a short time, Thurston Moore was in a band with Rodney Bingenheimer.
I know that you're going to think this is a joke, what I'm
Rodney
about to play.
Rodney was in a band?
I kid you. Rodney and the Tube Tops.
Yep.
Thurston Moore. It was a one-off, pretty much, but Rodney got a lot of very talented musicians to back him in his classic, classic hit song, I Hate the 90s.
I hate the 90s! What happened to Tube Tops? No girl I know can pass the pencil test. Tattoos, body piercing, the whole world has lost its head. Lost its head! Tattoo removal is the new way. Let's open up tattoo removal parlors across the land. I hate the 90s! Brian Wilson speaks for Dennis. Tattoos and body piercing is the new menace. S&M doesn't stand for Sonic Youth or the Monkees. All the cute girls in the 90s are all junkies.
Did these,
Everybody...
I hate the 90s!
Did these serious musicians ever look at each other and go, what are we doing?
Did he just say S&M doesn't stand for Sonic Youth and the Monkees?
I think Rodney may have written it himself, Ralph.
Really?
No! Surprise. I find it hard to believe.
He's a first-rate lyricist.
That star just is shining brighter every day on the Walk of Fame.
What did we do?
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
First, let's say good morning to K-Rock listener Anel. Hey, Anel.
What's going on, y'all?
Hey, Anel.
So you and Psycho Mike took the K-Rock microphones down to where recently?
We were down on the Shaw.
And what was the topic of the day? What were you guys chatting about?
Well, you know, we were just interviewing a lot of the what we call independent vendors, you know, on the street there.
Sure.
To, you know, see how they feel about the whole, you know, Barack Obama situation. You know, kind of get the you know, the dark perspective on it and everything.
Psycho Mike said that he was afraid at times.
Yeah, I mean, I was afraid at times, too, you know. It's like, being in a black neighborhood, man, you know, like pit bulls. You can't show fear, man. It'd be all over you.
All right, now this is, you don't know this yet, Anel, but this is edited together all in one piece, so we're not going to stop it and talk about each individual person.
Okay.
So tell us kind of who you talked to and, you know, the general situation.
Well, I think the first people we talked to was a fine young gentleman by the name of Zigzag.
Zigzag.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And I believe Zigzag, you know, he's one of those brothers that... You could tell he's been to the penitentiary because he reads way too much. I had no clue what the hell he was talking about. You know?
All right. He will, he'll get us into this. Let's find out what the K-Rock microphones found down on the Shaw.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Zigzag, you know, I just kind of wanted to address the momentous occasion of a black man actually running for president and having a shot. How do you feel about that?
You know, it's like you run into the track and field. Let's say we run into the track and field, right? You got that stick, right? You know what I'm saying? When you get to a certain point in the track, you got to pass that stick to someone else. And that person got to pass that stick to someone else. You know what I mean?
You're saying Barack Obama's probably good at track and field because he's black?
Probably he could run. Run, run, brother, run.
I say the White House is still white, you know what I'm saying?
Sir, do you have any comment?
My movement is reparation for 400 years of slavery, the black slave holocaust where the white people did us, and we still suffering the effects of that, you know?
What is your idea of reparation?
We asking for $8 to $12 billion annually for the rest of our natural lives forever.
A man Obama's up for the election. I just kind of want to know how you feel about the situation.
I'm just personally want to know, is the man going to come with the European ideology or the Eurasian philosophy, or can it be off of democratic centralism, you know, like intercommunalism?
That was a whole lot of isms, homeboy.
Obama can do the job. I love Obama, you know, he's an Afro-American. We have a governor, Mr. Schwarzenegger. He's from Russia, I think. And we have a lot.
Yes.
We have a Latino mayor,
famous Russian actor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, we love Arnold, Mr. Terminator.
We moved out here in front of Louisiana Fried Chicken.
I was in the Korean Row on Polk Top Hill.
How many Koreans did you think you killed?
I say 10,000.
10,000 Koreans?
Had to. Coming like
Yellow Thunder.
Bees on
a wave of urine.
Yeah.
You know how many dogs you saved by killing 10,000 Koreans?
I don't know.
The word black hole. Do you find that offensive?
Hell yeah. I find a lot of things offensive. Why black has to mean bad, white has to mean positive.
I'm stuck with brown being the universal color of poo, so you guys can both off, you know?
This guy Kane, if this guy is president, let's get behind this guy.
I don't think John Kane stands a chance in this election.
I don't think John.
Not Citizen Kane.
You never know. Let's see.
Kane and Abel.
Let's see in the end. Let's see in November,
cocaine.
You know? It could be a good step for us. Or it could be a bag.
Jesse Jackson said, he said he wants to cut off Obama's balls.
Jesse Jackson has been paid to do that.
So what you're saying is Jesse Jackson was paid to cut off Obama's balls.
Yeah. A few years back, they did this with, came over with a lot of strawberries. And it had,
heroin.
No, it didn't have that in it.
Let it paint.
No, it had
an A-pump.
It had this,
creamy chocolate filling?
No, it had sickness in it. Now, the pesticide, I like to say it, but anyway, it's right on the end of my tongue.
It wasn't good.
But anyway, it wasn't good. Keep out.
America, ladies and gentlemen, black people, 2008.
So, Anel, you're saying that guy wanted $8 to $12 billion annually forever.
I would like to go on the record and say I'm fully behind that.
I bet you are.
What's up, this is Joe Rogan. Rogan.
Brokeback Mountain is the funniest movie I've ever seen in my entire life. That doesn't make me a bad person. I'm sorry. You're wrong. They were outside. It was broad daylight. They hadn't seen each other in a long time. They grabbed each other. They went to kiss. And I just went, no, that can't happen.
What Ultimate Fighting is, it's the actual sport of fighting. It encompasses all aspects of fighting. Round game. Kicking. Punching. Elbows. Submissions.
We're about to watch the Two Girls, One Cup video.
I can't watch that.
Where are those girls? We have to find them.
UFC commentator and all-round personality, Joe Rogan.
Did you ever track those girls down, by the way?
No, we did not. We believe they live in Brazil. We're trying.
That's too bad.
We're trying very hard to find them. Whenever I hear anything that I've said, I like that stuff, like his listen to recordings, I always say, God, I sound like such a douchebag.
If
I
didn't
know me,
that.
I would assume I was a douchebag.
Yeah.
We I don't do think everyone thinks that. You're a douchebag.
Yeah.
No, fella, I thought we were friends.
Everybody thinks that about themselves. Like, we have artists that come in, can't listen to themselves sing. If they hear the song that we're playing, they'll take their headphones off because they can't take it.
I can only listen to sets, like stand-up comedy sets from like the last couple months. If I go back in time, like more than a couple months, like going over material and trying to work stuff out, I just don't want to listen to it. Yeah. I hate it. After I put a CD out, like I can't listen to it anymore. Or a DVD is like, ew, I don't want to even hear
it. At least that's all we're playing, so that's good.
Intro.
Joe Rogan is here, by the way. Two shows tonight, two shows Saturday night, one show Sunday night. We're talking about the Brea Improv this time, improv.com. And Joe, you'd been in the studio about 45 seconds, and Lisa, being a woman, was already hating on you. What's that about?
I wasn't
What's the deal,
hating
Lisa?
On him, no. But, I mean, I seriously, I was out before he came in. I walked back in, and they're talking about married women who put their hoo-ha in front of a
sure.
man.
Oh,
and
yes.
I'm like, how did this happen
Sorry.
In 40 seconds?
That's me.
Those
my
kind
fault.
Of topics. Can...
I just was curious how it went that way. So
I take it right to the gutter, and I apologize.
We call that the Joe Rogan effect.
Responsibility. I just,
yeah, it that, was, that's, you guys.
It happened to be what was on my mind, and you know, the really the wrong thing was to introduce it to your mind without any consideration for how you'd accept it.
That's
I
correct.
I just like
yeah.
to hear it
You're
from
right.
the beginning.
I understand.
All
you
right,
don't want to
start
walk
it again.
In on that. You
Kim Kardashian has a big ass. Let's just start there. That's how it started.
Yes, that's what we're talking about. Big asses. You know about. You know, it's a very real thing that black dudes appear to like asses far larger than white dudes do.
Yes.
You know? What's that about, do you think?
We're, I don't I mean, know, man, but they love it, and that's all good.
Well,
you know?
I think it's because black women tend to have bigger butts.
Right, but I don't think they take it as a consolation prize. It seems
no.
like black men
it's
prize
It's not
that.
Just black yeah. dudes, you know, like it's a subject. Her, what I was saying, this is how the whole conversation got started, where I was saying that Kim Kardashian's ass is a subject for debate. Like that everyone is talking, like, what do you think? Is it too big? Like, that's the conversation. Some yeah. dudes are like, no, it's perfect, perfect. And other dudes are like, it's too big. Like, that's what we want to talk about in 2008.
I saw her on Jimmy Kimmel Live last week, yes. I think it was. And when she sits down and faces the camera, she's spectacular. Because
she's
you can't see.
Because the rest
you
of her body
like
is
her,
banging.
You don't like her butt?
So, it's a little too big.
A little too
I don't
big.
Think it's too big, but I think
I
in 5 years, it's
in 5 years,
10 years.
You never know. She might
need
get,
a truck.
And get into stair climbing. She might get into fitness.
In 5 years.
But that's
Look,
what
she's
you
got
be careful about.
A lot to work with. She you does. Know, you could do something with that package.
She seems like a but motivated she, young woman, Joe. She's certainly likely to want to really work hard at something.
You don't think she is? She must have worked hard to get to become famous. I mean, that's a powerful thing when you're not really selling anything.
Yeah.
All you're selling is that you want to be famous. I mean, that's a to get through the net and get there. She's got to have something going on.
Absolutely.
Well, I think her dad
I don't know
helped
what it
that.
Is.
I mean,
for
I
sure.
Think, I mean, I think that helped a lot.
For sure. Right. But she's got to be willing to work a little bit.
Sure.
Even for attention.
Well, you
know?
If you call work, oh, right. let TV cameras film your life for a reality show. I mean, that's essentially all she does. It's not like
that's
she
work.
It has
all.
Any
that's
skills.
Work. That's it, work. That's all fake, man.
She skyrocketed with that sex tape. It was she yeah. was an, yeah, it was an yeah. auxiliary yeah. member yeah. of the showbiz community until Ray J put in work
Isn't
on it.
Isn't it funny that that's like how you can do it now?
That's a path to celebrity.
Good for them because you know what? For the longest time, everyone's pretending that there's something wrong with sex. You know, I mean, everybody wants it, but you can't have done it on video or any of have picture. Why? Why? You know, and then these people, they break through like Pamela Anderson. It didn't hurt her at all.
No, it helped, absolutely.
Like, there's dudes that could actually spank it to the real thing happening to her. You know, not just imagine what could it be, me and Pam alone on the beach. No, you can watch Tommy do it and pretend you're Tommy. Like, that's real.
Drive
you know?
The boat
that's
in your
powerful,
mind.
Man.
I don't think
he's
People talking
like
about driving
more.
The boat, Bean.
Yep.
Hey, fella, you know what
that
we're talking about.
That was a euphemism.
Oh.
That was a euphemism.
Oh, I got it.
Hey,
work that over, fella.
Since you're a guy who will watch, who spends all day, every day on the internet and will
Not
watch
every,
anything.
I get out of the house.
Well,
man. It's
barely,
very important.
Maybe for this.
Listen, you don't know
to
my
go to
life,
a,
sir.
To go to a friend's house to get on YouTube.
Right. My question is, how much of the Mini-Me sex tape did you see?
I did not see that at all. I said, I don't
you
need
to
see what that looks like.
No one has seen it.
No.
Now you want to see that.
I feel bad for that dude. You know, I feel bad for anybody that has any sort of a physical malformation of their body, something where their genetics went crazy. That, to me, is like, that's so depressing. Like, I feel so bad that you see a guy like that, like, when he was on that show, The Real World, what was it?
Surreal Life.
Surreal Life. And he was peeing in the corner.
Yeah.
That depressed me to no end. I'm like, this poor dude, he just got a horrible roll of the dice, you know? And that could have been any one of us. And
now I hate myself.
I can't get any pleasure out of that.
Because I
but
like
you have
it.
To be
I,
happy to I, see I, him see him nailing a hot chick. But you have to go,
sorta,
well, at least right now he's
I know what's
a
coming.
Good time.
All I can see is the breakup. This is just too painful. You know?
When she's like, Sam, I mean, I do love you. I totally love you. It's just that I don't know where I am at this point in my life.
And that poor little dude is trying to get his finger around the barrel of a gun, but his hand's too small. And he can't quite hold the gun and shoot himself in the mouth at the same time. Life's ultimate irony.
That is sad.
That's my I can't say that?
Nope,
I'm
can't
sorry.
Say that.
Unfortunately, You just, it was baby arm, human body,
right,
you do the
right,
math.
Right.
Well, I don't want to give anything away, but at one point in the video, you can only see his feet. That's all that's possible. You know, I don't want to say too much. But.
I see, you know, there is humor there. I'm trying to be a good person. Avoid that kind of humor.
You sure?
Yeah, that's you. That's you talking about him not being able to get his fingers around a gun.
Listen, we went in a circle, and I blame you guys. I was trying to show you the error of your ways. Yeah. Unfortunately, I had to make it funny.
Joe Rogan is here. Embraer Improv this weekend starting tonight. Before the break, we need a name from you. We've had a raging debate in recent weeks here on the Kevin and Bean Show about who qualifies to be a 10 on the hot chick scale. There has to be a 10 because you need something to compare it to.
Okay, so no personality?
No, it has to be everything.
Yeah,
that's what I agree. I agree.
Must.
For a 10, you get to be a 9 if you're super hot, but right. No personality. But 10 is everything.
So it's total package.
So who, famous? Is that what you're saying?
Well yes.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, like,
you
for
have
instance,
to know the person.
Charlize Theron, for instance, we've all agreed is a 10. She is a perfect woman.
Right.
You can't improve upon her.
Right. It's tough to do better
example.
Than that.
You mean, it's like, tough to do better than
there's
Charlize,
a certain
right?
level of beauty where there is no better. There's just different. You know,
right.
And she's one of those.
I'm going to say Megan Fox is a 10. I'm saying there's no way to make her hotter than she already
How
is.
How about
she's
Samantha
scorching.
Fox, old school, remember that?
From 1986, yes.
Samantha Fox, 1986.
Samantha Fox, the English chick with the big boobs.
Oh, yeah.
She was awesome.
And willing to show them.
She was the Kim Kardashian in 1986.
She was. I never in a million years would have guessed that would be the name you would have come up with.
No,
is that
me
your
either.
Perfect 10?
No, she's not a perfect 10.
Well, we'll let you think about it. We'll take a break.
I'm a pervert. You got to go like old school porn star, like old school Ginger Lynn. Bam!
Wow.
That's a 10?
That's a 10.
No.
That's a 10?
You don't
really?
Think so? No. How about Jenna Jameson in her prime?
In her prime.
During private parts?
There's
yes,
no
the hottest woman
no
in the
hotter.
World.
No hotter. It's impossible. There's parallel, sure. But there's no nothing above
Does
that.
It take a notch off that she's now turned herself into not as hot?
A hot trainee mess.
Well, you know what, dude? We're all getting a little funky looking with time, baby.
No, but
look at pictures of myself from 10 years ago, and I go, damn, time's a bitch. Time's landing some shots. I'm going down.
I got no defense.
Hey, look, this is what I've been talking about on stage, and this is true. I don't know if you can say this on the radio. I've developed gray hair on my balls.
Sure.
Can you say that?
Sure.
Yes, you
just over the last, like last couple years, I found a couple gray hairs.
Oh, I mean, you mean
that's
really?
Time. For real. I've had three gray hairs on my
How closely
package.
Are you looking?
I'm checking to see if I'm dying. That's what
and
it is. Gray
first?
Ball hairs are a way, that's your body's way of saying, forget about making ball hair color. Let's just concentrate on keeping this dude alive. All right?
That's real.
It just shows
that
your body is abandoning ship.
Back. Exactly. Okay. When we run out of resources, we need to shut down the ball hair color. Shut it down. That's what it is. It's like my body's going,
makes
whoa.
You worry. What's
we're
next?
Slowly
what are they
going
to stop doing next?
Everyone
right?
is past their prime, all right? We're all slowly going into the great beyond as much as we resist it. So, you know, you can't hate on anybody for, you know, not looking as beautiful.
Older.
She's
it
still a beautiful
happens.
Woman. She's a very nice person, too. And her and Tito are, like, the nicest couple I think I've ever met.
Really?
No, they're so friendly. They're so happy together. It sucks that him and Dana White have this brawl. Cause
yeah, it does.
I've always thought he's a really cool guy. He's a very friendly person.
Joe Rogan is here. He's going to be at the Brea Improv tonight. Two shows. Tomorrow night, two shows. And Sunday night at 106.7. K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show with Joe Rogan in the studio at 7:43.
Joe is at the Brea Improv tonight, Saturday night, and Sunday night, improv.com. Check it out. You know,
give some love to the 10 East, you know what I'm saying?
That's right, man. We had your buddy Forrest Griffin in here last week, and it was right after Rampage went on his rampage, and he had little or no insight as to what could have been going on in Quentin's head. You may know him better. What do you think that was all about?
I'm sorry, I have little or no insight too. I would have never guessed that would have happened to that guy. He's always been, when I'm around him, he's always such a friendly, happy guy who's always joking and making everybody laugh.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, he always talks about he really loves his kids and he wants to take care of his kids, and that's one of the reasons why he's fighting. And you know, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I mean, he's a great guy, and everyone says that. And, you know, I mean, Brandon Vera even talked about it after he fought on Saturday night. He was like, you know, just want to give some love out to Rampage. It's like that. There's a lot of people feel like that about him. He's a nice guy.
Having said that, it was a special kind of funny. I know that it was sad, but it was a special kind of funny that he had a giant life-size picture on his truck.
The dumbest hit and run in the history of the universe. you can't do a hit and run with a picture of your face. You're like, that's really poor thinking.
Full size, like 6'8" or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It makes you almost want to give the police more control. You know, have everybody on a button system. Shut the button off. We got a crazy one. You know, that's what they're going to have eventually, man. We're going to have bracelets, microchips, and everybody's car is going to have a button.
Just shut you down?
Helicopters flying over. You'll be marked on the roof. And whenever you do something stupid, they'll shut you off.
That would help that night. That's what ended up hitting a lot of cars.
We hit like Indian numbers, you know? You know what I'm saying? I mean, right now, we're struggling. We're hitting 300 million. That ain't nothing.
I thought you were talking
about so much space.
I thought you were talking about Quentin Rampage Jackson was hitting India numbers is what I thought you were saying with
this
car.
I just took you on a route, my friend. That's how my mind works when I'm just waking up.
Then we had Frank Shamrock in this week. This CBS MMA show. What do you think of it? It's so weird to have that programming on CBS.
I think it's
the Matlock
awesome.
Channel.
More fights everywhere. Keep it coming. You know, there's a lot of guys out there that want to fight, and you know,
are there enough quality fighters to support all of these venues?
Hell yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of great guys you've never heard of. There's a dude that's fighting on this card, Jake Shields. Mm-hmm. That guy's a bad dude. There's a lot of people who don't know about him because he's been fighting in other organizations. That guy's a killer. He's right up there, top 10, any organization. He's John Fitch is another one. The guy that's fighting George St. Pierre. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people don't know about him. They you know they know about George St. Pierre. That guy's a savage. You know, John Fitch is an animal. I mean, that's a serious fight. There's a lot of those guys out there and those other organizations that just haven't fought in the UFC yet.
Don't you have to be an animal or a savage to get in the ring? I mean,
you do
martial
dudes,
arts. You said you would never want
to
do it.
No, it's dangerous to do that for a living. That's a very solitary, singular pursuit. Like it's very. That's the other thing about this guy that's fighting Jake Shields. That's fighting on CBS. He's fighting this guy Nick Thompson, Nick the Goat Thompson, who is a full-time law student.
Oh,
he's
no
a lot. He has a crazy regimented schedule. He like has to get up in the morning, train, go to school, get out of school, train, go home. He trains twice a day. He trains twice a day, and he's full time law student.
How the hell do you do that?
He wins. He's the Bulldog welterweight champion. And what's really hilarious is I was talking with Alex about this before the show. There's these like fake kung fu dudes online. This is not they don't think they're doing fake kung fu. They don't understand that kung fu is that's done, dude. We figured out it doesn't work. Right? They don't want to let go. They're hanging off the ship. And one of them has challenged Nick Thompson. You know, he was talking about the guy was talking about how martial artists are different than what these guys do, which is a sport. And that a real kung fu man would just, you know, destroy him with techniques, you know, like a snake paw. Where you, like, grab with a snake and crush your bones and hit you with some chi punch. Like, they think that's real. And so this dude, Nick Thompson, offered to fight him. He said, I'll give you $40,000. Like, he basically said, let's fight for $40,000. Then the guy said he didn't have it. So then Thompson said, well, I'll tell you this. I'll put up $40,000. You don't have to put up anything. And if you win, you can have the $40,000. And if you win, I get nothing.
And what'd the guy do?
Well, they're talking back and forth and trying to work it out. But it's a bunch of crazy trash talk. And one of the ways the kung fu dudes are doing it is through YouTube. And it's awesome. Like, you know, to Nick the Goat, bitch, you know, like, it's like so dumb. It's mind-boggling. These are characters in a movie, and I'm watching this guy talk about, you know, what you do is a sport. What we do is for the fight. It is a martial art. Okay, we are taking it to you. I'm trying to crush your bones. And at one point he says, I'll show you the meaning of a true kung fu ass kicking. Like, you talk about a twisted path.
Thompson give them the time of day, though.
Because he's having
fun.
Because he thinks it's fun. He likes fighting. This guy likes fighting, and he's a very smart guy, and he knows that bringing this up is probably going to make... Look, if he actually can get this guy to fight him, it'll be a ridiculous, huge smash on the internet, because he'll run right through that guy like fire through bushes. Like, you don't even know the difference between a real mixed martial arts champion like that. I mean, that guy was the Bulldog champion. He knocked out Eddie Alvarez, who's a killer. All right? That guy is an assassin.
Yeah.
Some crazy kung fu dude working with his buddies in the basement saying, man, if you come out me with this punch, what I would do, and just making things up, I would grab your wrist right here and put
pressure on the temporal lobe. And then I grab your elbow. And then from here, overhead elbow, leg kick. And they're all the while assuming this person's just going to stand there while that
and
goes
take
on.
It, right?
And we've already figured out from the UFC that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, dudes fight back.
Right.
And that kung fu stuff doesn't work. You got to let it go. It only works with dudes who don't know how to fight. As soon as you know how to fight, you go, oh, this is silly. What is this guy doing?
I want you to have a YouTube channel where you just reenact all the videos that you see each week that you like. That's what I would pay to see.
Well, you know, that would turn pornographic real quick.
What are you obsessed with lately, though? It's got to be some kind of an animal attack.
Oh, it's always. It's always the giant, the biggest snake in the world, or, you know, watching a dude get killed by a tiger, you know. I'm obsessed more with... I'm obsessed with all sorts of things that can mess you up. I don't want to say mess.
Death by nature.
Yeah, well, the whole tornado thing. How crazy is it that people are still willing to live where that happens?
That's a whole lot of land you're talking about.
What if it was a spell that a wizard cast, and every year a wizard would cast a crazy spell, and it would be a whirling whirlwind of death that would come and destroy buildings and houses, but there was a place where that wizard couldn't get to? Wouldn't you move there immediately?
I wish you guys could see Joe Rogan's eyes right now.
Would you like to? What, how bloodshot they are?
No,
crazy eyes.
You got crazy eyes when you start talking like that.
Well, I mean, that's what it is. That's a monster.
But Joe,
a tornado's
you make
a monster,
argument,
and there's places where that monster never comes.
You live.
But you need to get out of there.
You live where we have earthquakes. That's the
that's
same
not
thing.
That bad. The
not
earth
yet.
Moves a little. A few people
not
are going to die, but it's not like whirlwind
tell
monsters
them in
that
China.
Destroy. What? The people
tell
in China?
That in
tell
China.
Them in China.
That's a good point. Listen, I'm living in denial, people, and I'm the first person willing to accept it. The tornadoes scare me more than anything. I don't know why earthquakes don't scare me as much. I guess maybe because more cool people live where the earthquakes happen, so it's like almost
okay.
worth the risk.
Dude, I went to school. Yeah. I went to school, college in the Midwest, and there was a tornado coming, and I ran out because I wanted to. I just figured it. I could outrun it. I mean, I didn't.
What?
No, I just think, not that I'm that fast, but that,
well,
what are the
college.
Chances it's going to come right for me?
Oh, my God.
I went out, and everybody's like, get down underground. I was like, I want to see this.
Whoa,
this is awesome.
You're crazy.
Well, no, I just don't think it's going to come right at me. It may have, and I would have died.
Yeah,
but.
That's the ego. That's the ego
be,
tricking
yeah.
you. Hey, you're going to be fine, bro. You're the chosen one.
I can block it.
There's a gigantic funnel of air flying cows.
I can block
buildings
it.
Buildings are exploding when it touches them.
You know
you're
how?
Like, dude, I'm going to be fine.
Kung Fu. I would block it with Kung Fu.
That's the answer right there.
With your chi.
That's very important, man.
All right. We are out of time. Unfortunately, it goes by very fast when Mr. Rogan is here, but you can see him at the Brea Improv. Two shows tonight, 8 and 10. Two shows tomorrow night, 7 and 9, and then Sunday night at 7 o'clock. Go to improv.com or call 714-482-0700.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, you guys.
Great
you guys
to see
are
you,
always
Joe.
Cool.
When
Thank
is your next UFC?
The next one is, I think the next one is in Minneapolis, and I think it's the beginning of August. I'm not exactly sure.
A couple
but if
weeks.
You go to UFC.com, you can get more details.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. 4 minutes till 8 now. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
I can't hear Lisa May's traffic music anymore without remembering how impressed John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell were by the rock and roll traffic music that she used to do.
They
were
certainly
were.
Air guitaring it through the whole thing.
And Will was like doing an angry driver thing. I was going on. I was like, driving his car. He's just like miming what it must be like to drive to that rockin' beat. Very funny stuff. Hey, you want to win something super special, cool? A Dark Knight Batman piece of merchandise that is so super limited edition, even I don't have one.
Ooh.
Wow.
And odds are I never will. It is the limited edition Dark Knight Xbox 360. They only made 286 of these. That's all.
That's a dick move, by the way.
In the world, that's all they have is 286.
Why is it a dick move?
To only make 286 of something you know that thousands of people are going to want to want.
Well, I think it makes it special.
It makes it super limited edition is what
that
it makes.
That is what it makes it. That's true.
It comes in either the Batman or the Joker edition. You can only win it if you're a K-Rock Street Team member. So if you're not a member, go to the website right now, krock.com. Join. It's free. Don't cost you nothing. And one of our Street Team members will be winning this very special piece of Dark Knight merchandise, the Dark Knight Xbox 360. Pretty cool.
I heard from the Street Team, by the way, the guys who run that, that someone named Valley Ralph has entered a million times already to win. I don't
is
know
that right?
what that's about, but
it's Ralph Val.
Oh, sorry.
Very different. Val. It is on. It is on like Donkey Kong. Catfight.
Who's in it? Who's in it?
Kim Kardashian and Shanna Mokler.
Oh. This ain't right.
I mentioned to you that these two ran into each other at Carmen Electra's barbecue. And, you know,
right?
You always run into people at Carmen's place.
Sure.
Kim showed up with Reggie Bush. Shanna Mokler, went off and started attacking Kim, saying that she was trying to take Travis Barker away from her and blah, 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 blah. Shanna Mokler strikes me as someone's just a loose cannon, just off her nut.
Definitely. Yeah.
Just whacked.
Yeah.
Just loopy. So you think it would end there. Apparently, Kim Kardashian took a significant amount of abuse and said to Reggie, you know what, let's just roll. Let's just bolt. Let's get out of here. And as I mentioned, Reggie was taken down, I think, by an empty beer can or something. Something rolled into his foot, and he fell down immediately.
He likes it because he's fast.
Uh-huh.
But if he gets hit by a lineman, goes down easy.
Goes right down.
But it's not over. It wasn't over after the barbecue, because now Shanna Mokler is taken to the internet to slam Ms. Kardashian.
Yes.
She loves her some internet.
Yeah.
Here's the quote from her blog. And by the way, if Shanna Mokler has a blog, you got to stop making yours, Bean.
Come on.
Yeah, I was at this barbecue, and I saw what I thought was a donkey posing on the stairs.
Oh.
But much to my surprise, it was Kim Kardashian.
Oh, no, she didn't.
No, wait, it was a donkey. She is so effing fat. She's 5'2", and she's like 140. She was wearing a sarong to cover her huge, big ass. I like a nice ass, but hers is not a nice ass.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that my hurts. God, look at her butt. It is so big.
Are you 13, Shanna Mokler? Anyway, she goes on to claim that she threw a drink on Kim, told Kim's boyfriend Reggie Bush that she's a whore, and says that she has emails from Kim to Travis trying to seduce him.
Wow.
Kim Kardashian's response? I have nothing against the parties involved, and I don't know why they feel the way they do, but what I do know is what there are so many more important, positive things to focus on right now, and that's what I will continue to do. Look forward, not behind. If Kim Kardashian makes you look like an idiot, if Kim Kardashian makes you look immature and stupid, you're an amoeba. You're a paramecium. You're the bottom of the food chain.
Now, Kim is claiming that she and Travis just had a professional relationship, right? There's nothing going on, never has been, and that Shanna is just a crazy, jealous woman, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
And I find that hard to believe of Shanna. She seems so even-keeled and balanced.
Well, I don't want to suggest that Travis will be here on our show a few days from now, but perhaps that'll be a topic of discussion when he joins us.
And put that all to rest. What do you say? Let's do it. Speaking of crazy, Richard Simmons.
Oh, dear God. Is he alive?
Says that he might be interested in running for public office.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I'm in.
He apparently testified before the House Education and Labor Committee this week and told legislators he wants to have the respect of a congressman, to talk like a congressman and maybe be a congressman someday.
Isn't he crazy?
Richard then later added he especially likes the congressman's wide stance in bathroom stalls and their ability to tap Morse code out with their feet. Matthew McConaughey makes...
By the way, I hate to back up, but who among us would not vote for Richard Simmons for public office?
For president.
I would, I'll tell you that.
Or president.
Yeah, he has to run. He must run.
Matthew McConaughey is making childbirth sound very attractive to all of us.
Really?
To read his new interview in OK Magazine. He describes the event as bloody, pukey, sweaty, and medieval. I'm sorry, primeval, not medieval.
Yeah, that's hot.
That sounds great.
That sounds not good.
Oh, get me some of that. Honey, let's do that bloody, pukey, sweaty, primeval thing. Okay.
How did he
was
know?
He was working surprised?
He was working the turntables from across the room.
That's right. He's on the ones and twos. He also describes it as beautiful and wild. His wife, or girlfriend rather, Camilla Alves, tried to have a natural childbirth, but eventually she had to undergo the epidural and have a cesarean to get little Levi out of her pouch. That's how you have kids, right? They come out of a pouch, yes. Right?
That's right.
Like kangaroos?
Yes.
Vaginas are beautiful.
But if you've seen the cover, it's him and Camilla, who's a lovely girl, and it's an adorable little child they have. So I guess all the puking and bleeding and sweating and primevality was worth it.
I don't think anyone's ever said that it's pretty to watch. I don't think that's... I mean, nobody's watching babies being born for pleasure, I'll tell you that.
Well, apparently he was caught by surprise.
All right.
And Jessica Simpson says she's not worried about gaining weight.
Excellent.
By all accounts, she's put on like 20, 30 pounds.
Really?
Yeah. This week, Star Magazine shows a photo of her looking more than curvy. And she says her boyfriend, Tony Romo, loves it.
Fat girl's fat.
Yes, he does, Jessica. Absolutely. You just keep believing that.
Mm-hmm.
He's crazy about it. He wants you to get fatter. He can't. He just can't wait till you just blow up. Come on. Do you know nothing, Jessica Simpson? Tony Romo.
You have to ask that.
Is saying, no, honey. I think you look great just the way you are. I think you look terrific. You've gained weight? I haven't noticed.
Wow.
Don't believe that.
All you care about, Ralph, is that she continues to attend Cowboy games in person.
That's all I care about. Just get her a triple XL pink number 9 jersey and just put her right there behind the bench. That's all I care about.
Don't you do it. Don't you lose a single pound. I don't care what those Hollywood image makers say. Big women are sexy.
That's right, Jessica.
That's Tony Romo.
What was that? Thank you, Peter Griffin. Today's celebrity birthday is Matt LeBlanc of Friends and Joey. He is 41 years old today. And Thurston Moore, legendary guitarist for Sonic Youth. One of the favorite bands of Rodney Bingenheimer.
Yes.
I love you.
In fact, Rodney enlisted Thurston's help on his own smash hit single, I Hate the 90s.
I hate the 90s. What happened to Tube Tops? No girl I know can pass the pencil test.
Why is he yelling at us?
Because he hates the
90s. What happened to Tube Tops?
And what did happen to Tube Tops, by the way?
Who cares?
And what is the pencil test exactly? Is it you put the pencil under the breast and the pencil is supposed to not stay?
No, it's supposed to stay.
Or is it supposed to stay?
The pencil test, I think, is it's supposed to stay.
No.
If you have enough boob, right?
But
right.
I think he's talking, yeah, because he doesn't want them to pass, which means he likes smaller.
Oh, so the pencil test proves that you have
big.
An appropriate amount of boobage?
Yes.
If it can hold a pencil?
Yes.
But I thought the pencil test was to show your boobs were perky and uplifted, that you're supposed to put a pencil in there and it's not supposed to stay because your boobs are so perky and uplifted.
But I don't care what age you are, if you have big boobs, you're going to hold
a pencil.
You're
going to hold a pencil?
Yeah.
Right.
So by
Rodney
saying that none of the girls he knows can pass the pencil test.
They don't have boobs. They're guys.
They have no boobs.
They're boys.
Or they haven't gotten their boobs yet.
Correct.
That's more likely, yes.
I was just trying to figure out exactly
what
Rodney
is. That's exactly
what
it is.
I'm just trying to clarify things, not only for myself, but for our audience, because that's what I'm all about. I'm about the edification of our audience.
But those girls, their bodies will change as they get older.
Sure.
So just hang on.
Eventually they'll pass the pencil test when they learn how to write their names with a pencil.
Giddy up.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Us Magazine reports that, let's see, Mrs. Grace is the name of a person that works at the West Hollywood Psychic Tea Leaf Readings, Mrs. Grace.
Okay.
And celebrities are going to her, and Cameron Diaz is the latest. Now, it doesn't say if Cameron Diaz was doing it to be funny or if she was doing it because she thought it would really tell her the future.
Cameron, I don't know her, but she seems kind of woo-woo, like the type of person who might believe in psychics.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
You know what I mean? She seems like the type.
According to Us Magazine, she sought guidance to know what's up ahead. And Mrs. Grace told the magazine that she saw, quote, marriage and kids and, quote, a beautiful future.
Well, there'd be no way for just an average person with no psychic ability to guess that for Cameron Diaz.
That's correct.
I mean, there's a woman who looks to me like nothing but trouble in her future. She's ugly and poor. So, of course, that's what's going to happen. Well, we asked producer Alex to line up Mrs. Grace, and we've got her on the phone right now from the West Hollywood Psychic Tea Leaf Readings. Hi, Mrs. Grace.
All blessings to you. How are you today?
We're very good. How are you today?
I am at peace, mm-hmm. and I am at one.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Now, yes. How are you today?
We're doing very well.
I'm so
very pleased.
Okay. MSNBC got the story right then. Cameron Diaz did come to you, and you did predict good things for her and her new boyfriend.
Oh, I saw some wonderful things in Cameron's future.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a blessing to meet with her. And Drew Barrymore introduced us. And I have to say, she is one of the most beautiful auras I've ever read.
Oh, okay. How do you go about, forgive my ignorance, Mrs. Grace, but how do you read somebody? Do you close your eyes and it just comes to you? You see it in your head or what?
I do. I spend time with whoever I'm dealing with. I can do it either in person or over the phone.
Right.
And what I do is I close my eyes and I see an aura of energy around that being.
Okay.
And inside that aura, I get, in my mind's eye, visualizations of what is in store for that person's future.
Forgive me for doubting, but I could have guessed marriage and kids in a beautiful future.
Well, I wasn't guessing, you see. That's the special part, my pet.
Okay, do you
is
see?
I actually see the future, and I saw Cameron's children, and I saw her future,
I see.
It all looks so, so wonderful.
I see. Okay. All right.
Okay, if you can do this on the phone, I hate to put you on the spot, but is there any way are you getting any kind of vibes from the people that are on this call with you right now, Mrs. Grace?
Well, I'm getting a lot of different energies because I'm assuming there's more than one of you there.
Yes, there's Bean, and there's myself, Kevin, and there's Lisa May. Uh-huh.
Okay, let's try to focus in, and I'll do my best to see if I can get something from you.
Oh, okay.
This is great.
Who would you like to begin with?
Well, let's start with Lisa May. Let's start with young Lisa who does traffic on the program.
Okay, Lisa May, can I ask you, pet, what is the day of your birth?
6/23,
June 23. That makes you a Gemini.
Cancer.
Yes, cancer.
But very close to Gemini.
I don't even like to say the word cancer.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. I understand. Sure. Yes.
Okay. All right, Cancer the Crab.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, let me see what I see. I'm getting, in your home where you live, where you do most of your living, I'm getting something.
Sorry,
I have a little tea leaf caught in my throat.
Oh, wow.
I'm seeing a toilet. Do you have a toilet where you live?
I have two.
Two toilets. Yes, I'm getting two toilets. Yes. And there's a problem. Oh, there's a problem with the toilets. It seems as if they need every periodically. Do you have to clean them?
I do.
Yes, yeah. I'm getting that. I'm getting
Mrs.
you have
Grace,
to clean the toilet.
Everybody
sometimes.
Has to clean their toilet.
I can't control what I see.
All right.
But she is confirming that what I'm seeing is actually true.
It is true.
Okay,
is true,
so that's a hit. That's all a direct hit. Then.
One for one.
So I'm seeing for you struggling with the fact that you must keep the toilets clean. But good news. Good news is.
Yes.
They will get clean.
Oh, that's great.
So you can take some consolation in knowing that eventually they will be clean. However, on the negative side, I do see them getting dirty again.
Oh, wow.
Good with the bad,
but
I guess.
Best of luck with you.
Thank you.
I'd Brenda. Like to do it now, if you don't mind. This is Kevin, because
Kevin.
After that amazing performance, I want to see what my
future...
Well,
I hate to toot my own horn, my pet, but I was absolutely correct
you
in
were.
That particular case.
You did nail it. That's absolutely true.
Okay, Kevin.
Yes.
Kevin, I need the day of your birth. Please.
March 29th.
March 29th. That makes you a Libra.
I think it's Aries.
Aries.
I'm not
sure. Yes, that's what I meant to say.
Okay.
Aries. Ooh, Kevin. Wow. I am getting a strong, strong reading off
okay.
of you, my pet.
Good.
Do you ever, how do I put this delicately? Do you ever get a scratchy, itchy feeling down by your testicles? Do you ever feel the need? Do you ever feel the need to have to scratch yourself down there?
Well, I think all guys do occasionally.
But I'm asking you particularly, do you ever have to scratch yourself down in your scrotal region?
I mean, I imagine. I don't right now.
But have you ever?
Well, yeah, I imagine.
Okay, thank you. Yes, I'm getting that. I'm definitely getting that you occasionally have to scratch yourself in your ball area.
But that's true of everybody.
I'm talking about you particularly.
I know.
Have you ever had to do that?
Yes!
Well, thank you. That's what I'm saying.
Once again,
my reading was spot on.
Okay. But, Mrs. Grace, how does that help, Kevin? He already knew that before he talked to you on the phone.
But I never met him before, and yet I was able to sense
well,
it by reading
true.
His aura.
All right, what about
his aura down in the scrotal region? It's all pulsating and red and inflamed.
Hey, stop it now. That's
you
not
need
true.
Some sort of sad.
I don't. All right, let's go to Bean.
Bean.
Yes, sir.
What an interesting name Bean
yes.
is, my pet.
Okay.
Okay, now your date of birth, my pet.
November 14th.
November 14th. That makes you a Capricorn.
Scorpio.
Yes. Oh, Scorpios are the most interesting of all of the astrological signs.
Okay.
Okay, my pet. Oh, wow. I'm getting a very interesting reading from you. Have you had any physical difficulties lately? Have you been struggling at all?
Not really. No.
No headaches. No backaches. No sore muscles. No.
I've been fine.
No paper cuts, no hangnails, no cramping
nope.
of the fingers, no banging of the elbows, no nothing.
I've
Bean, she's going to keep guessing healthy. Until you admit to one, so just admit it.
Oh, wait, well, I'm getting something else. Oh. Do you have nipple hair? Do you have hair coming out of your nipples?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Take a quick look
can
for
you
me.
Check?
Could you look for me real quick?
I'm getting
one or two hairs. That's
probably about right. One or two, probably.
Yes, thank you. That's what I thought. Yes, I'm getting a definitely strong nipple hair feeling.
Are you sure you're not seeing Lisa again?
No, I took care of that.
No, it's you. I can tell it's you, and you have nipple hairs.
Okay.
And sometimes I have to break the bad news,
uh-oh.
But I do see them staying.
Oh, really?
Unless you pull them out.
I'm
and
not
then
shaving
I see them
my
going.
Chest.
Well,
you're not shaving your chest.
Right.
Well, no, I'm not going to shave my...
Thank you. I thought I got that right. Yes, thank
no,
you.
No, you didn't say that. He said it first.
No, but I said I saw them staying. You see?
Right, but again,
so
how
once
is
again,
that?
I was 100% correct, my pet.
But how are you a psychic if you could point to any guy on the street who might have a little bit of hair
but
on his chest?
I was pointing at you, my pet. I have never met you before, and yet somehow I knew you had hairy nipples.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what would this cost us if we had paid to come see you down in West Hollywood?
Oh, it is going to cost you, my pet. I'm charging you $4,000.
$4,000?
But it's a group rate. I did all three of you for $4,000.
That's a discount?
Yeah, because it's a group discount. We call it a psychic gangbang.
Time for the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
A lot of good stuff this weekend. I know I rarely get a chance to say that.
Ralph cheated and saw two.
Yeah, I apologize.
Movies.
I accidentally saw two movies this week, and I against... You know, my I have strict standards.
You're not playing by the rules now.
that I run this little segment by.
And you're an outlaw.
I did cross the line, so forgive me. Let's talk about some movies I haven't seen.
Okay.
American Teen, a documentary that's getting a lot of attention from other filmmakers and from the press. People are talking about this movie as a potential Oscar nominee for best documentary.
Mm-hmm.
It is about the 10 months in the lives of five high school seniors in Warsaw, Indiana. And about what the hell high school is.
Okay.
Apparently, Juno director Jason Reitman says this was his favorite movie at the Sundance Film Festival this year.
Wow. Hmm.
So you may want to check that out. It's in limited release. You can find that in smaller theaters throughout the Southland. I would suggest looking for a Lemley, if I were you.
Yeah, that's usually
those
where
the
they
folks
are.
Usually have this stuff. Also, Brideshead Revisited is going into limited release today. It's a big British movie about old British stuff.
But a popular book and miniseries on TV back in the day.
PBS.
Yeah.
That sounds bad.
It has quite a pedigree.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the two biggies, shall we?
Okay.
What do we got loaded up first in the old audio cabinet there?
For some reason.
X-Files.
Okay.
What was that sound?
Well, here's the thing. I went to see the premiere of X-Files, I Want to Believe. I got a chance to go down to the red carpet in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater.
Right.
And a big hullabaloo was made about the fact that we want Ralph to record the interviews. So
I remember the back and forth.
If they're great, then we get a chance to play them back here on the Kevin DeBean Show. So they took
care
of that.
Yeah, because you have the opportunity to talk to the stars and the director and everybody, and we're all big X-Files fans, so this is tremendous.
I might get some insight that you wouldn't get from some of the stars. We couldn't talk to Gillian Anderson, for example. Didn't get a chance to talk to her.
Right.
So I had a chance to talk with Gillian Anderson on the red carpet, and we had I don't think that's what you have queued up.
But this is Amanda Pete.
This is Amanda Pete. Alrighty then.
I think
we should really have gone through this before we got started. I thought we had Gillian Anderson up first.
Go back to the fire. We'll have Gillian Anderson because hers is spectacular.
I think so, too, because you guys didn't get a chance to talk to Gillian, so
no.
I thought my conversation with her would be worth playing for you. And she is a remarkably bright young woman. She is talented. She's very thoughtful. So I was able to ask her some fairly deep questions. On a red carpet, you don't get that chance very often.
Yeah.
I was asking her what it meant when girls come up to her and say, you know, I went to medical school because of Scully. I mean, that's kind of happening now, 15 years after the fact. She's been on the air. She said she gets a lot of mail like that. So I thought that'd be interesting to get her take on.
Mm-hmm.
Also, how does she feel about making one of the iconic TV characters of the past 20 years?
Sure.
The character's going to live on well beyond her own career in life. Does she ever consider that? How'd she feel about coming back to the character? We covered all that in this interview with Gillian Anderson.
Hey, wait a minute.
I want to thank the crack K-Rock
I didn't.
Technical staff
couldn't
for,
hear any of that.
Getting that.
He's also switching from one ear to the other.
Yeah, yeah. We were losing channels, and
was that her with someone else, or what?
That was me?
It was you
talking to her, yeah, and the crowd reacting to what we were saying. It was very interesting.
That's her in the parking lot talking to somebody, and you were 40 feet away with a boom mic,
me
right?
Next to her with a microphone in her mouth.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't sound good.
No, I thought it went well. Then I got a chance to talk to Amanda Peet, another one of the stars of X-Files.
Excellent. Oh, great. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah. And so we talked about her working with Dave Duchovny and Julian Anderson, and at least the quality improved markedly for this.
For some reason, a lot of the ladies seem to say they like David Duchovny.
No, he's okay. The thing is he's not that funny.
No, that's the problem. He's very sour, very serious.
And he's also, he's difficult to work with.
Not very talented. He's got that against him.
No.
Julian Anderson, she's a hack.
Such a hack.
I know.
Yeah, she can't really act.
Were you able to give them any tips on the set? Were you able to... She's kidding, oh, for God's sake,
she's
people.
A genius.
What?
Yeah, so thanks to the K-Rock technical staff. We were able to work out the bugs from earlier in the red carpet.
We could hear you.
And yes, and deliver that interview with Amanda Peet.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was good.
Awfully distorted, though, Ralph.
He wants everything.
So depressing. So depressing when you do that and you come back and that's what you're left with.
But at least there wasn't a lot of talk in the week leading up to the red carpet about recording those interviews.
Yeah.
At least that didn't happen.
It was 24 hours leading up to the red carpet. There was a lot of talk about it. So that's what we came away with. Anyway, if you're an X-Files fan, you're going to love this movie. If you're not an X-Files fan, you will see this movie, love it, and then want to go back and watch every episode that you missed of the series in the first film. Because it is a well-crafted, well-executed thriller. It works on every level, and you really don't need to know much about the X-Files to enjoy this. But
excellent.
If you do, you will enjoy, once again, spending some time with these characters and realize how much you miss them and how good that show was. And this does not let down from that at all.
Fantastic. I mean,
the performances are terrific. The script by Frank Spotness, who wrote a lot of the episodes, is terrific. Chris Carter's direction is top-notch. It is not a big, flamboyant special effects blockbuster. Don't go expecting that. It's a very small, character-driven thriller, but it pays off on almost every level in terms of fright and thrills, but also romance and comedy. It's got a little bit of everything in it, and I really, really enjoyed this film.
Everything is good about it except your red carpet interviews.
Exactly. So don't let that color your opinion of this film. Duchovny is especially good, I think, but... It picks up, if you want to know a little about the plot, I don't want to give anything away because obviously they've worked so hard to kind of keep it under wraps, but it picks up pretty much 6 years after the series leaves off, but as if it was real time in these people's lives. So when you meet them, Fox Mulder is no longer with the FBI.
Oh, I
neither
see.
Is Dana Scully. She is now a doctor in a Catholic hospital. How appropriate that she would be working at a Catholic hospital.
Mm-hmm.
He is pretty much a hermit. Just spending his days going through newspapers, clipping out stories of weird. And
so he's crazy. He's gone crazy.
He's grown up a big beard, lives in a cabin.
I love it.
He's just out off his nut, basically. And through a series of circumstances, eventually both of them get pulled back into the world of the X-Files when they're asked to participate in an investigation that's ongoing with the FBI. And Amanda Peet plays the lead officer in the investigation.
Dude, we heard all this in your interviews.
Well, that's true. I don't
mean repeating yourself
to be redundant. But I loved this film, so you might want to check it out this weekend. And another movie I really liked, which I saw last night along with Kevin and Psycho Mike and Alex and Cleo, was Step Brothers.
Yes.
This is Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly saying, let's just be as dirty and as funny as we can. It is what is known in the business as a hard R, people. If you're thinking of taking your kids because they really like Talladega Nights, and it'll be funny.
And they love the commercial for it?
Oh, it'll be so funny. No. No.
Not so much.
Not for your kids. But if you're a grown-up and you want to laugh hard, I recommend Step Brothers. Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly both play 40-year-old losers who are living with their mother and father, respectively. And when those two people get married, they become... A perverted version of the Brady Bunch where they have to move under the same house in the same room, basically. And it's basically what would happen if two 12-year-old kids met when their parents got married, but these guys happen to be 40, but they're emotionally 12. And they are threatened by their parents, told they have to get out of the house, they have to get jobs, they have to face the real world and grow up. So here's a little sequence from the film where Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly decide to interview for jobs, but to do it together because now they've become best friends.
Well, Brennan, you certainly have had a lot of jobs.
Well, thank you. I think that makes me a complete package. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm nervous. You offer 2 weeks paid vacation and 5 sick days?
Yes, that's standard for all employees.
What we would like to do is take all of that up front, and then we'll see you in 3 weeks, refreshed and ready to go. When I get into the workplace, I like to up.
Oh. Please, we really try not to drop the F-bomb in the office. I needed someone
Wait, shut your mouth. Shut your mouth.
Get out of my
office.
Whoa. Wow. Language.
These guys, you get the sense there really wasn't much of a script here. They said, let's play like we're two brothers and then just roll the cameras and we're just going to go off.
Yeah.
And I laughed my ass off last night when I saw this movie.
You know what I loved about it is that you would think they would make it PG-13 so that they could get the biggest audience possible, sure, because that's the way Hollywood works.
A lot
works.
More money in PG-13 comedies than there are in R-rated comedies.
Way funnier this way.
Yeah. It really is just for grown-ups. But yet, they're so childish. It's yes. So funny because they're so childish in this film. And yet, what it does is make you remember when you were 12 and you were just an a-hole, what it was like when you were acting with other kids. And just there's one funny moment after one unexpected funny moment in this film, and I really, really enjoyed it. So you got two choices this weekend. You can go to X-Files if you're looking for scary, creepy, or you can go for Step Brothers if you want to laugh out loud. But either way, you're going to enjoy yourself at the movies this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
I'll let you know. Is that an end?
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
Thank you, Lisa. 8:56 now, and time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
I got to see the Batmobile last night. I'm cool.
I knew you were going to be way excited about that.
It was outside the Arc Light there at Sunset and Vine, and there was the Dark Knight Tumbler, the Batmobile that he just tears around it, which, not to ruin anything, but it gets destroyed in this movie.
So it looks pretty good, considering it had been destroyed.
Then he gets in the Bat Pod, which is like the Bat Cycle, and just tears ass all over Gotham City. So it was very cool.
It was pretty cool.
So if you want to see it, it's outside the Arc Light at Sunset and Vine.
And you were saying earlier, Ralph, and I thought this was fascinating, that the engines, the twin engines for that motorcycle device are in the tire.
In the wheels.
Now, is that technology that is being used in other forms of transportation that people can buy and it's on the road?
Yes.
Or is it just for the movie?
No. They got the idea from reading the story of this engineer who had created the motorized wheel, where the motor is inside the wheel. As you can imagine, it saves you a lot of space on the frame of the bike, and also it can be used in cars as well. The problem, they say, however, is syncing up the motor in the front wheel and the motor in the back wheel. If they're not rotating in exact synchronization,
you explode.
You don't explode. Oh. No, it just throws the balance and the power of the bike all off. But still,
that's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. The reason I bring it up is because we're having a special K-Rock Dark Knight event happening on the website right now. If you'd like to win one of the coolest looking video game consoles ever, K-Rock is giving away to one of its street team members. This is good music, though. Announce stuff too.
A super limited edition Dark Knight Xbox 360.
Come on, you know you want it.
Featuring either Batman the Dark Knight or the Joker. There were only 286 of these made in the world. And you may win one if you are a K-Rock Street Team member. If you're not a K-Rock Street Team member, join today at krock.com.
Makes me want to see it again.
Why don't you talk in that voice all the time?
I don't know, Lisa.
It's a great voice.
Because I would sound like a dope.
Yeah.
Speaking of Batman, Movie Phone has listed its top 10 movie villain list of all time. Top 10 movie villains of all time. Heath Ledger's The Joker has made the list.
Really? Top 10?
Opinion.
Wow.
One of the top 10 villains of all time in movies.
I think that's fair.
I think so, too.
I had that thought as I was sitting there watching the movie this week. I thought, we are looking, this is a screen performance for the ages. You're going to always remember him as one of the great villains in cinema history.
You want to know the other ones?
Sure.
Yeah.
Number 10, the Queen from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. The
pretty
evil
damn
queen.
Evil.
The evil queen.
Hello!
No, not Queen Elizabeth. Oh. The evil queen. In Snow White, the legendary Walt Disney
That's
classic.
That's gay, but move on.
It's not gay.
That's ridiculous.
She
gives
scary
her the poison
when I was
apple.
A kid.
Blah, blah, blah. Poisons beautiful Snow White with that apple. It dresses in old crone.
Here, my pretty, are you hungry? Have a nice apple.
Okay. Number 9, Max Cady in Cape Fear.
Yeah.
Remember Robert De Niro was Max Cady?
Oh, yeah, he was.
Hunting
he's
down
a
Nick Nolte and his family? That was a creepy, creepy performance.
Yes, it
Mike
was.
Mike would be that guy in real life if he
Mike
could.
Mike is that guy.
Smoking a big cigar in the movie theater. Laughing too loud. And then remember seducing Juliette Lewis as his daughter, the guy's daughter. He puts his thumb in her mouth and everything. While was,
yeah. All I remember is he's on a boat. That's all I
yeah,
remember.
Yeah, that's the end. That's even worse. All I remember is there
that's
was
all
a boat.
I remember.
You're thinking Titanic, Kevin.
No, I'm not.
Hans Gruber from Die Hard.
Sure, the first one, the original
the first one.
One,
yeah, played by Alan Rickman, one of the great actors working today. No Country for Old Men. Javier Bardem's character in number 7.
Oh, yeah.
One of the, Anton Chigurh.
One of the great villains of
doesn't
all time.
Doesn't he do an impression?
I think he does. Let's hear.
Call it Fredo.
What an actor. Now on with the countdown.
Number six, Goldfinger.
Okay.
The titular character from the James Bond movie, Goldfinger. What do you mean? What are you shaking your head about? It's one of the great films ever.
No, it's not.
Goldfinger, do you expect me to die? No, Mr. Oh, I just screwed that up.
Kind of screwed that one up, didn't you?
Goldfinger, do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond. I expect you to die. One of the great lines ever by any villain ever in any movie ever.
It's not bad or anything. I just think it's too cheesy to be up there with these guys.
That's
like
what
Anton
I think.
Sugar and,
you should be.
You know, because they're
so sinister.
You should
be castrated with a laser.
Right.
That's what should happen to you. The Joker. In The Dark Knight. Heath Ledger's Joker. Number five on the list.
Okay. All right.
Number four, Hannibal Lecter, Signs of the Lambs, of course.
Yeah, that's the one I was expecting, yeah.
Number three, The Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, dear God.
Has there ever been a more famous movie villain than The Wicked Witch of the West?
No, I'm with you on that.
Come on!
And your little dog, too.
That sounds nothing like The Wicked Witch.
And your little dog, too.
I'll get you, my pretty.
Lika.
And your little dog, too.
There you go. That's
I'm melting, melting.
Now, Kevin, you can't have any complaint about that being on the list. I mean, that is as classic as it gets for movie villains.
She's one of the iconic movie villains.
It's just there. It's more cartoony.
Some of these are more real.
She's effing scary.
Yeah, she's terrifying.
She scared kids for years and years
She had flying monkeys that could rip you apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's badass.
You don't know.
I think he's a homosexual.
Darth Vader from Star Wars.
That's got to be number one.
Number
How
two.
Dare
number
you?
Number two.
There it is.
Darth Vader
number
has
two.
To be number one.
I'm telling you, it's number two.
Well, the list ends there. Then
I'm
going to
stab
mind.
You right in the neck if there's something bad here. If there's something from a Disney movie, I'm going to stab you right in the neck.
It's not bad, and it's not from a Disney movie.
All right.
Lord Voldemort from the Harry Potter films. Number one movie villain
evil.
Of all time.
Yeah.
He is evil incarnate.
He's not even there most of the time.
Oh, that's even scarier, man. It's like the Jaws shark. What you don't see is even scarier sometimes, my friend.
That's a pretty good list.
It's good. It's a good list.
Dumb.
Kevin, you're bad.
Dumb.
As usual, you are bad. Well, look at the time. I have no time for anything
else. I drink your milkshake.
What about him, for example?
He wasn't a villain.
Oh, that's right.
Harvey Keitel is going to be on television.
I just wanted to play that.
Except for that, though.
Harvey Keitel is going to be on TV for the first time ever. He's going to do a TV series.
Really?
As Variety magazine says that he will be joining the cast of ABC's upcoming Life on Mars about a police detective who gets hit by a car and gets knocked into the 70s.
I love the original.
Please enjoy. 70s was great. The British version was great. Whether the American version will be able to hold its own, we'll have to see. But Harvey Keitel joining the cast has to help.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, Matt LeBlanc, Joey from Friends. He's 41 years old today. And Thurston Moore of Sonic Youth turns 50. All morning long, we've been mentioning not only is Thurston Moore the legendary guitarist of Sonic Youth, but he was also the legendary guitarist backing up Rodney Bingenheimer in Rodney and the Tube Tops classic hit, I Hate the 90s.
I hate the 90s! What happened to Tube Tops? No girl I know can pass the pencil test. Tattoos, body piercings, the whole world has lost its head. Lost its head. Tattoo removal is the new way. Let's open up tattoo removal parlors across the land. I hate the 90s.
Couldn't they have turned up his mic or turned down the band? Why is Ronnie having to shout to get over the sound of the band?
Probably because the band heard his lyrics.
Just move the mic closer to your mouth. That's all you have to do, Rodney. Then you can say, F***
that guy. What would you need him for?
I hate the 90s. Could have done that.
I hate the 90s!
He is screaming to be heard.
When you hear him just talk, just broadcast, don't you say, well, that's a classic lead singer.
Yeah.
Right there. That's it.
The charisma, the power. He's a front man. He's a born front man. By the way, we did some research on the pencil test.
Yes.
Okay, what is
okay,
it?
Okay, how does it work?
Here's how it works. I feel like I'm a game show host.
Okay,
here's how it works. The pencil
test. We asked 100
test.
Audience members to describe the pencil test. Their number one answer was,
"If you the pencil test is used apparently to decide whether or not you can go without a bra."
Okay.
If you put the pencil under your breast and it's held there,
mm-hmm.
then you need the support of a bra. You can't go without a bra out in public. You must wear a bra.
Oh, okay.
So you failed the test.
You failed the pencil test.
Okay, we had
if
a
the pencil drops out. That means that your breasts are small enough and pert enough that you do not need a bra. You can just put on your T-shirt and go out amongst the living.
Okay.
Do you think this was something that was designed for young women of a certain age to determine whether they were, in fact, developed enough that they had to start thinking about getting a bra, maybe?
Perhaps. I do not know the actual
or it was just
source
horny
of
men.
Tell me the derivation of that whole thing.
Who is the person who invented
what does that
it?
Mean?
I understood it was happened in Illinois on a small college campus.
I would like the entire history of
you
the pen test.
Further deny that a young woman named Brenda Milligan was the first one to actually put pencil to breast.
Must it be a number two pencil? Do we know that? We have the answer there.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Coming up.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
Ralph, I know you're leaving in a few minutes for Las Vegas.
Yes.
But you're going to be back in time for the premiere of season two of AMC's Mad Men, I hope.
My TiVo is set. If I'm not back, I'm recording not only the one that airs at 7 o'clock, but the one that airs at 8 o'clock.
Are there two of them?
They show it back to back.
Oh, wow.
In case you don't tune in for at 7, you can see
it
in
its
entirety at 8. Yeah. So
you're going to record the same one twice.
Exactly.
Okay.
Just in case something goes wrong with the first time, because I'm not missing. I've been waiting for this season premiere forever, it feels like.
We are very excited about Mad Men returning and very excited about our next guest on the Kevin and Bean Show, Elizabeth Moss. She plays Peggy on the show, and you'll be seeing her Sunday night when the program returns. Hey, Elizabeth, welcome.
Hey, thank you very much.
Great to talk to you. You know, we have talked a lot about your show since it first debuted, about how all of us are bummed out that we're too young to have lived the good old days when men were men and women knew their place. Don't you agree?
I'm not bummed out.
I know, it's true. I think probably the men are more bummed out than the women.
Yeah, probably.
I think so. I love the line. I think it was the first episode when you first got your job, Elizabeth, as Peggy, as the new receptionist for Don Draper. Where they were showing you the electric typewriter, and they said, it's so easy, even a woman can use it.
Nice.
I know, that's one of my favorite lines. It's so great.
So this was set in the early 60s, right? And it's an advertising agency?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Madison Avenue, that's where the name comes from, the Mad Men.
And isn't it shocking, though, Elizabeth, that just, I mean, basically a couple of generations ago, that's how people lived. I mean, people showed up at the office and smoked all the time and drank all the time and openly had affairs all the time. And it's just not that recent past. It's almost hard to believe in this age of political correctness that that was the standard.
I know. Things changed really, really fast. It's not that long ago. People smoked in doctor's offices and smoked on planes.
Yeah.
Apparently that didn't harm anything.
In surgery.
And drank all day long. Yeah, and certainly, I mean, you're right. It was only a few years ago.
The only thing left over is drinking while you're at work. We still do that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
What attracted you to this program? Why did you want to play Peggy?
I just thought the script was incredible for a pilot. It's not often you see something that's so rich and layered and frankly unusual. You know, it's not a cop drama or, you know, a reality show or anything like that. It was this kind of really intelligent new idea. And I just was like, I wanted to be a part of it in any way that I could.
But speaking of reality TV, I mean, Flavor Flav is on this show, right?
No, Kevin, he's
no, Flavor Flav is not on this one. No,
no. Okay. No, sorry, that's not this show.
Okay, all right.
What's amazing, though, is when it debuted, there were people who really kind of had to adjust their thinking toward the channel, toward AMC, who they'd always looked at for movies. And they're like, what's this they're doing on original? What's this deal? And now here we are. You know, that's how it started out in season one, was so under the radar. And now you got, what, 16 Emmy nominations or something like that, and you're one of the most anticipated returning shows on television. I mean, it's quite a turnaround in just a few months.
I know. It's pretty weird. I got a lot for a long time of... So it's on A&E? Or,
yeah.
Or a lot of... So they just show movies, right? I didn't know they did TV shows. And now people are kind of getting, I guess, a little bit more used to the idea. But even now, people are still kind of like, I thought AMC only showed movies. So it's still kind of... It's still getting there.
Do you guys feel a lot more pressure now that kind of the secret is out about how good the program is? Now there's going to be a lot more people tuning in, a lot more expectations.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can't help but feel a little bit stressed out about that. But we had a bunch of reviews just come out, and everybody was really favorable and really kind, and New York Times and all that kind of a thing. So that's a big relief. It's always scary with a sophomore effort, especially when the first season is so hyped up. But in my humble opinion, and I'm extremely biased, I think the second season is better than the first. So,
Okay.
So I really hope that people agree.
But your character of Peggy, Elizabeth, really is the one in this sort of foreign world, because it does seem so strange to us now, what was going on 40 years ago, who is the trailblazer. I mean, you've become a copywriter at the point. You've had a baby out of wedlock that you're not really that attached to say the least. It must be fun for you to sort of play the person who's the oddball in this world, the person who's kind of stepping out of the universe that they've created there.
Yeah, absolutely. I love playing, you know, each of the women represents kind of a different faction of female at that time, and she represents that girl who was coming up in the workplace, and, you know, everything that she does is for the first time. She has nobody to really follow in the footsteps of. And there was a very important movement at that time, and I love kind of representing that and showing how hard it was and how strange it was and how strong you had to be and how funny it was at times, you know. And and then the whole pregnancy thing is kind of a whole other storyline that I have enjoyed.
How much did you enjoy the scene where you take home the massage aid, shall we say? How tough was that as a day on the set, Elizabeth?
That was a fun day. That was fun because I had a whole day of about six scenes with no dialogue, and it was like doing kind of a silent film. And I got to just kind of work with these different things and these little ideas that that I had to do. And that was fun. That was a good storyline. It was almost a little embarrassing for me because I'm pretty modest. Right. So it was almost a little embarrassing, but it was fun.
Well, we know what prop Elizabeth's going to be taking home from the series. We got that one down. Let's play. We're trying to bring.
Who has it actually is Robin Wright, one of the writers on the show. She actually does have it.
How about that?
Oh, look at that.
We are trying to bring back clips on a radio show from Visual Medium, so we do have one from Mad Men. Now, Ralph, this clip we're about to hear, is this from last season or is this from the premiere this Sunday?
This is from last season. This is an opportunity where Peggy gets an opportunity to continue her creative copywriting for the agency. You know, she has already made an inroad with the lipstick campaign, and now Don Draper, played by the amazing John Hamm, gives her a chance to work with Clearasil because he figures she's young. She might know something about zits.
Clearasil. You know who buys that? Young girls. We have the perfect writer for that. Peggy Olson.
That's funny.
Freddie Rumson and I were both very impressed with her insight.
Stop joking already, will you, Don?
Excuse me?
Peggy is not even a copywriter. She's a secretary.
Peggy!
Yes, Mr. Draper.
Miss Olson, you are now a junior copywriter. Your first account will be delivering Clearasil to the spotted masses.
Is this really happening?
Yes, it is.
My goodness. I will do my sincere best.
Did they give you a raise, for God's sakes?
I know.
They didn't, right?
Sons of bitches.
Bastards.
She's still making secretary money, I think, for copywriting.
If you want to tune in and see the beginning of the end when they started giving women jobs, when the world went to hell in a handbasket, you need to check it out. The season 2 premiere of Mad Men is this Sunday night at 10 o'clock on AMC. Elizabeth is terrific on the show, as is the whole ensemble cast. It really is terrific, and we're very excited to have it back this weekend. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us on The Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thanks for your support.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Entertain us, and you get a prize for your trouble. 1-800-520-1067. Today, our friend Seth Green's show, A Robot Chicken, Star Wars on DVD, available in stores and online everywhere, and well worth checking out.
All right, let's begin with Gary, who is calling in Downey. Good morning, Gary.
Hey, how you doing?
Howdy.
Sorry about that.
Howdy do. Right.
What's going on?
I'm sorry. There's a story about a little 13-year-old in Brazil who's been attacked by a pit bull. So what he did was he grabbed the pit bull by his neck, bit back, and then even lost his own little canine tooth as he was biting back into the dog.
The 13-year-old boy bit the dog back?
Yeah.
And it ran off?
Yep.
And it was a pit bull?
A pit bull.
Wow. That's a lame-ass pit bull, I'll tell you that.
Pussy.
Sign that kid up for MMA.
No kidding.
Wow. Well, they always say, you know, dog bites man, not a story. Man bites dog. Now you're talking. So I guess this happened.
There you go.
All right. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Steve in Burbank. Good morning, Steve.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
Well, I saw X-Files last night.
Yes.
Oh, tell us.
And I've got mixed feelings about it.
Okay.
Ralph is right about the fact that it's nice to revisit the characters and the fact that, you know, it's six years after the show ended.
Right.
And that was all great. But I think the actual story
kind of disappointed me. You know, I was looking for more of the alien conspiracy, of the whole theme that they've been running the whole time. And it just seemed like to me it was an episode. It was more of an X-File than...
Yeah, you don't want an X-File in an X-Files movie. That's for sure.
That's true. He's got a point.
You don't want to run that risk.
In other words, you're one of the fans who didn't want a standalone episode. You wanted something that was that addressed the mythology of the show. But I think for most people, that thing's been gone too long for us to all keep that straight and really get hooked back into that. I'm glad it's a standalone.
I guess I could see, you know, how they have to try to make it for the masses. But, I mean, if you're an X-Files fan, I mean, that's what you were kind of hoping and looking forward to. But, I mean, it was great that they addressed the characters and they kind of finalized a few things. That was kind of cool.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for the call.
Even
appreciate
during
it.
The series when it was on the air, the alien conspiracy, smoking man, shadow government stuff was my least favorite stuff. I always liked the standalone episodes. Like when they found the incest family living under the floorboards.
That was the weirdest episode ever.
And that kind of stuff. I used to like it when they would go off and just solve a case once in a while. That was more fulfilling to me. So I enjoyed the movie for that reason.
The movie is called X-Files. I Want to Believe. It opens everywhere in theaters today. Thanks to Dave Duchovny for coming on and talking to us about that this morning. Also, thanks to our friend Joe Rogan, appearing all weekend long, starting tonight with two shows at the Brea Improv. Go to improv.com. And actress Elizabeth Moss, again, Mad Men, comes back for season two this Sunday night at 10 on AMC.
Lisa, you have 20 seconds to tell us about your crappy play.
Okay, it's called The Next Best Thing. It's a musical. It's in Hollywood. I'm in it tonight, but it's a great show, so go either Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. And you can go to my website, lisamay.net, which is restored to its...
Aw, you took down the good Megan Fox pictures?
...to its brilliance with me in it, and all the information
friends
is there.
Don't let friends come see their crappy plays.
It's true. Yeah.
Practically everyone who's acted in, produced, or even seen a play is gay.
That's true.
It's a good play.
Monday morning, Sal Masekela from the X Games. You can win X Games tickets all weekend long here on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Don't smell pot.
Roll another one, just like the other one.
Now exactly how much pot did you smoke?
To be allowed to quit.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
I need another hit.
An absolute pothead. Coming up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock, we're talking about the beautiful Kat Corbett. Why not stick around? She's got Coldplay, also Nirvana, Offspring, and more. Have a terrific weekend.
Roll
another one. God damn it, I love pot.
Just like the other one.
Black hole.
This one seems to be about to end.
Ooh.
And I don't have another cent.
He had the craziest look in his eyes, and at one point he said, let's get it on.
I'm so not a raper.
Just pass it around.
I'm Al Reynolds.
But don't hold on that joint, my friend.
What are you going to do for 69?
Just pass it on down. Pass it on down.
That was appalling with a capital A.
Terrible.
From start, middle, and finish. You have wasted my time. You have wasted your own time. You've wasted everyone's time.
Okay, we're done. Thank you.
This is not going good for you.
I'm not impressed.
You're the biggest assholes I've ever met.
Leave the office right now. We're done.
So, go to our offices?
Get the out!
Okay, so you want to sleep on it. So do we, I think.
Get out of my office.
Whoa.
Wow.
Language.
Anyway, I'm out of here, but I'll be back next week. Gotta head up that bumpy Fairfax Avenue.
I need a burrito.